The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday. First day of July 2013. Let's take a quick look at the numbers. The Dow is up 160 points. S&P is up 20. The comp is up 49. Gold is up $32.70. Crude is up $1.03. On my screen, I have nothing but green. My, how things can change over a weekend. Eh? What do you say? Hope you had a great weekend, by the way. We had a hot one here in Phoenix, a scorcher, as they call it, 119 degrees. Now, who in the world would live in 119 degree heat on purpose? Me, I guess. Me and about 3 million other people here in the Valley of the Sun. But by the grace of God, with a little air conditioning and sunscreen, sunglasses, sunshade, sun hats, you know, we got through it. Let's see, I got a couple buttons here that I forgot to click. Okay. There we go. For those of you that are just now coming in on the broadcast, I apologize that I did not click your button previously, but I think I got all the buttons clicked at this point. So, if you're brand new to the radio program, and You're only hearing the sound of my voice. There is another dimension to this radio program. You can actually see our charts, and you can participate in the discussion. We really encourage you to do that. Go to the homepage at cfrn.net. On the right-hand side of the page, click the big microphone. That'll take you to a page. Follow the instructions, and you'll be registered for the entire month of July. I know some of you regulars are out there scratching your head going, "Wow, why come this link won't work?" Well, we have to register again the first of every month. So July, if you get registered today, you're good to go for the entire month. In fact, every day for the rest of the month, you'll get an email every weekday that says, "Hey, the show starts at noon. Click here when you're ready to join." So after today, you get in with one click access. Thursday, we will not be here because Thursday is the 4th of July. We'll be celebrating that with our families, reflecting on this great country that we're so proud to call home, the United States of America, and all that being an American means, and, you know, the freedoms that we have that so many people in the world to this day still don't have. Okay? And we get busy and life happens, and so we take much for granted. Not intentionally, it just we do. But it's days like this coming Thursday when we have an opportunity to not only put a little something on the Barbie and, you know, go watch some fireworks, but to actually reflect on what freedom really is. So with that said, here's how it works if you're new. We start out the day with our good word for the day. After that, we take a look at the chart I have up on the screen, which is the S&P 500 E-mini futures. It is the hourly chart. And I'm going to have to mute my microphone for 1 second, so, because I've got a wiring conundrum. Hang on.
That is the hourly chart of the ES, which is the E-mini S&P 500. I'll just step in where Dwayne left off. Let's see. That line that you see right there at that 16,
I'm detangled.
20. There you go. All right.
Hey, buddy. All right. So what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just picking up where you left off. That's all.
Oh, thank you. We're like an old married couple. We can finish each other's sentences and stuff. So he was about to tell you that 1621, consider being long above 1621 up to the next weekly trading zone, which is not too far overhead, but I think there might be a nice opportunity for a trade. Let me hit the good word for the day, and then we'll jump into the chart. And after that, I don't think I have any headlines that – I don't have any burning headlines at the moment. I have a couple things we'll discuss. Once David Williams comes on the show, he'll be on from pagetrader.com. Between looking at the chart and David coming on, Michael will do a recap of the live trading room this morning. That's just kind of the format every day. If you're going to be a part of our family and be a part of this radio program, good word for the day, look at the chart, daily recap of the live trading room, then off to Vegas to chat with David and the trading coach, Ms. Robin Dane, who I got an email from last night. She's got a couple different things going on right now, and so she is going to be off this week and next week. Okay? She may pop in for Coach's Corner on Friday, but otherwise she's just going to take a little time off, and she'll be back, today is the 1st. 2 weeks from today would be the 15th. She'll be back July 15th. All right, so here we go. Good word for the day comes from Deuteronomy 8:18. Has to do with Jesus being poor, or as I put it this morning in the prayer breakfast, poor Jesus. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Deuteronomy 8:18. Now, what is God's reason for prospering his people? The name of this radio program in the early days, we've been on the air now for 8 years, was Prosperity for God's People. This portion of the daily programming, we stream 24/7, but this portion of the program then became the E-mini Futures Cast because we speak specifically about the markets during 2 hours. 22 hours of the day is pure Christian programming with a little financial stuff thrown in. 2 hours each day, Monday through Friday, we focus specifically on the markets. We're launching another radio program. We've been going to soft launch that thing for a couple weeks. Might happen this week. I'm really working towards that. That will be called Prosperity for God's People, the Search for Biblical Prosperity in the Digital Age. Now, what is God's reason for prospering his people? Is it so that we can watch bigger TVs? Is it so that we can buy finer houses or drive more luxurious cars? Is that why he does it? Well, according to this scripture, it says that he gives you power to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant on earth. Now, it kind of makes it sound like it doesn't have a whole lot to do with you and a whole lot to do with him. We learn over time that that's kind of how life plays out. Now, some people will tell you and preach to you that Jesus' ministry was poor, that Jesus himself was poor, and that he got along just fine, and that to be a good Christian, you should be poor. Well, I just want to tell you, I think that's absolutely and utterly ridiculous. What parent wants to send their kids off to school with holes in their pants and holes in their shoes? Now, I know it's a fashion statement today to have holes in your pants, but not in your shoes. I don't think it's gone that far yet. But nonetheless, every parent wants to do the very best they can. Every good parent wants to do the very best they can for their children. Okay? Now, I don't believe that God wants you to be poor. He doesn't want you to make money a god, little g. He doesn't want you to worship money. No. But I do believe that he has a reason for prospering you. Now, going back to Jesus, he never built a worldly empire for himself. In fact, the disciples were a little confused. They said, hey, this kingdom of yours you keep talking about, when's it coming? Because, see, they had their eye on the throne. They wanted to know who gets to sit at your right hand. And, you know, we know who turned out to be the court jester. And we can go down the line, right? But does that make them bad? No, it makes them human, all right? So Jesus never built a worldly empire for himself, but that also doesn't necessarily mean that he was poor. The fact that he had an entourage that followed him around, as we know today, most people with an entourage, they got a little change. They got a little ka-ching going on, right? That's how they support the entourage. In fact, he even had a bagman. He had a guy to carry the loot. If you don't have much money, you probably don't need a guy specially designated to carry the money. Right? I'm just speculating here because I wasn't there and I don't know for sure. But I've read the book, and it's a great book. I recommend it. Did you know you can get it as an audiobook? True story, you can. So, what's this all about? Where am I going here? Well, I think that because he had a lot of money, or I don't know about a lot, but he had sufficient, enough so that he needed a man to carry it, but yet never built his own kingdom, I think he might have been one of the greatest givers who ever walked the face of the earth. That's what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking that maybe God prospers us so that we could follow in the footsteps of Jesus. In fact, if we'll start giving freely, if we'll start taking care of the needs in people's pocketbooks, I think we'll be far more likely to win their hearts. What do you think happens to the heart of a starving nation when you fly in with a 747 full of food, clothes, and medical supplies in the name of Jesus? What do you think? The hearts of these people, they tend to soften up a little bit. Now, we're not bribing them. It's not about that. but they're going to be willing to listen to what we have to say. Here's the thing. So often it gets preached about how God will meet all your needs, and that's preached to broke, starving people. And they hit you real quick with the question, really? Well, then why did my kids go to bed hungry last night? Well, it's not God's fault. It's the fault of those who he has prospered and who aren't doing what he's called them or created them or prospered them to do. So don't ever let anybody tell you that it's wrong to seek prosperity. It's wrong to seek prosperity for the wrong reason, but prosperity can literally not only mean the difference between starvation and health for millions of people, it can actually mean the difference between heaven and hell. So I want to encourage you to maybe think a little less about your own needs, raise your vision, and set your mind on giving to meet someone else's needs, fulfilling this scripture in Deuteronomy to establish God's covenant on this earth. And then, friend, just stand fast in faith and get ready to enjoy the greatest prosperity you could ever know, true biblical prosperity. And that's our good word for the day. Let's go to the chart. S&P 500 E-mini futures. This is the hourly chart. We had a tweet last night. I began the evening. Globex starts at 5 p.m. Chicago time on Sunday nights. I sent out a tweet prior to the open. Stand by. We will be tweeting the session tonight. So the tweet went out to consider being long above 1604. I'll bring up the tweet here in just a second. As you can see, price traded up through 1604. Let me put a little dividing line here for you. That's the beginning of the Globex session. And that's the beginning of today's session. Okay? So, the Globex open, we suggested being long above 1604. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours later, patience is a virtue. The trade triggered, and from 1604 we ran up to 1609.75 was the swing high. I sent out a follow-up tweet that said, consider taking some or all profit here at 1609. Now again, price ran up to 1609.75, but I said 1609. I followed that up with another tweet that said, it looks as though we're now going to go back down and test the important area at 1604. I then went on to say, if I can ever get my Twitter loaded, you ever have troubles loading your Twitter? Here we go. Tweets. That's it. Okay. Price appears to be on its way back down to test the important area at 1604. You know our thoughts on, you got to click that to get all the way over there. Okay. Let's see if we can load this page. Price appears to be on its way back down to test the important area at 1604. You know our thoughts on this. You can use your slingshot to try and find an entry long once the area is tested and confirmed, or you can simply go to bed like me. This was very late, actually very early in the morning. See you tomorrow morning at the morning devotional. And by the way, guys, we do have a morning devotional. Everybody's welcome. 9 a.m. It's a conference call. I'll put the information in the chat room for you. And so price did come back to test 1604. It did hold. We did get confirmation. And then it took off again. So this right here, this 5 times 50 bucks per point equals $250 per contract. We got that twice last night. Let's see if I can copy it. Yep. Paste it. Oh, it looks like my paster's not working. Control C.
Control V. Yeah.
Seriously? Really?
Yeah, you know that. You know that. Preaching to the choir, right?
It's Monday.
Just
no, I appreciate it, man. Thanks very much. So anyway, guys, we got that tweet in stereo. Okay? 1604 up to 1609. Pull back to 1604. Back up to 1609. And then on this swing low right here, look what happened. We had a swing low of 1605 and a quarter. If you recall last week, we had a real good time with 1605. We had a 9-point swing and a 7-point swing and a 9-point swing. And then we had some short trades and some little long trades and some short trades. And then here we are into the new week, still in play. Okay. Last night we triggered on 1604. So 5 up. Five back down. I didn't even go there because that gets a little confusing. Well, how do I know to take it back? Well, you've got the slingshot to give you your entries. And perhaps Michael might point those out when he has a slingshot up and he's going through the recap. So up, back down, back up. Can't get all the way back. So that tells us there's some bullish energy in the market when we can't get back all the way down to this area a third time. And off we go. We take out 1609. Now remember, I had said to exit some or all. In fact, on that particular tweet, I think what I had said, let me have another look at that. Consider locking in some or all profit here at 1609. At the very least, trail a tight stop. So some of you, I know, stayed in that beyond 1609, and good for you. I'm always going to encourage you, especially on a Sunday night when the week is young and we've already got 5 points on the board. Now, we teach the partners to have a goal of a couple points a day. So you can make a good living at a couple points a day, but you know that's a very deep subject. And so I won't go into all of that right now. But 2 points a day times 5 days, well, that's 10 points a week. So on a Sunday night, if you can pick up 10, if you stayed up, that's a great place to be. Now, some people just have a hard time, man, walking away from that platform when they've just had a great trade. I'm on a roll. I need to keep hammering it. Well, you know, that's such a difficult subject because I know very few people that ends well for. I know very few people that just trade relentlessly, bell to bell, that kind of thing, that it ends well for. The people I know who are successful, not all, but most of the people I know who are successful as traders, they have a daily goal for themselves, and it may not be 2 points. Okay, that's just our little way of looking at it. It could be a dollar amount, it could be all kinds of things. But to have something that is definable, measurable, and doable, that's a huge dynamic right there. If you go to our blog and search goal setting tips for e-mini traders, something along that line, just Google CFRN goal setting, it'll take you to the blog post where I go into some pretty good detail about what constitutes a goal, you know, a legitimate goal. Because if your goals are not, if they don't meet that criteria, if it's not realistic, if it's not definable, if it's not measurable, it's a goal that's only going to cause you angst, okay, and turmoil and strife. And you'll keep asking yourself, man, what's wrong? Well, your goals have got to line up. They got to make sense. And so we try to help you do that. And 2 points a day for us makes an awful lot of sense because every day the market is open. I don't know of a day that it hasn't given the opportunity to at least take a couple points out. Doesn't always give you the opportunity for 7 or 8 or 10 or 19, but without fail, day in and day out, it does give the opportunity to take a couple points. Okay, so that's what we focus on. Something that allows you to have goals that you at least have the possibility of meeting each and every day. And so if you haven't taken our free trial, by all means, pop in, do that. It's absolutely free. You don't need a credit card. We don't need your mother's maiden name or the street you grew up on. If you have a desire to learn how to trade E-mini futures, we'd love to have you in the live trading room. Now, what we don't do is we don't make you any outlandish promises. And you know, it's amazing that people are forever coming along and trying to get me to do that. They literally back me into a corner and try to pry some kind of guarantee or promise out of me. And we don't go there. We never have. We never will. We cannot make you a successful E-mini futures trader. We can teach you everything we know about E-mini futures trading. This tweet that I put out last night, which was good for 5 points on the first swing and 5 points on the second swing, forget about the 5 points on the retracement, okay? I can teach you how I came up with that. I can teach you how to do that. I can teach you how to do it, but I can't guarantee you that you're going to do it. It's just like baseball. I can teach you how to play baseball, but I can't make you a baseball player. That's up to you. See, sometimes people just lose sight of the fact that there's a certain amount that you have to bring to the table. Discipline, focus, intestinal fortitude, stick-to-itiveness. It's more than just a couple of indicators and a trade setup. I mean, that's certainly part of it, but that might just be the smallest part of the equation. And that's all part of what becoming a partner is about, to help you find your way in this big world of trading, because it's a big world, it's a big market, and any of us individually can get swallowed up. But there's strength in numbers, so we encourage you and invite you to become a part of our community, and the first step is by taking that free trial. All right, we've backed off of this high of the day here at 1620. Now, again, we do have a tweet. It's about to be in effect. I haven't put it out yet. So far, I've only drawn the line, but it's going to go out. Consider being long above 1621 up to the next trading zone. Okay, we'll see if that happens in the course of this radio program today, or if, in fact, we have already found the high of the day, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm starting to get an inkling that we have. I don't think we're going to trigger this today during the day session, possibly tonight. If we don't trigger it tonight, I'm going to go way out on a limb and say that we might have just seen the high of the week. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's just go to Michael right now for the daily recap of the live trading room. Michael, I'm going to hit mute on my end so I don't interrupt you or make any weird background noises. And then I'll be back in about 15 minutes to chat with Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com.
Excellent.
All yours.
Excellent. I'm grabbing it. All right. Change presenter. All right. Now, let us get started here. Happy July, everyone. All right, so we started out the new half, the new quarter, all that stuff, with our second down day of the year. Not a big deal. Let me show it to you. Red. What's that red doing there? All right. Let me get the recording going and we'll get into it. Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is July 1st, 2013. Today, we had our second down day this year. So, I guess two down days in 6 months isn't too bad. We were minus $60 a contract today, is what we ended. Minus $60 a contract. The results, we were minus 8 on soybeans, minus 30 on the Russell, minus 60 on crude oil, plus 130 on gold. It's minus 60. Now, we took a bunch of trades, 15 trades, so that put us at minus 180. Minus 180 overall, if you account for all the commissions. The net was minus 180. Okay. Now, the reason I say that's not a big deal is because if you go back, I mean, you all know last month, well, those of you who've been here for any length of time, maybe anyone who was here on Friday, you know last month we ended plus $5,220, the net $3,260. George, last week, I don't know if you're in here right now, George, but last week you had said that that seemed like a significant difference between here and there, and it is, but that's because I'm using an $8 per turn commission rate. All right, I don't actually pay $8 per turn, but I'm using that as a commission rate. If you add about, I don't know, $700 or $800 to this total, that would make it more realistic. The month before that, this was May, I believe, right? Yeah, May. We were up $6,292.50. Gross with a net of $41.40.5. The month before that, gross $53.92.5. Net $36. The month before that, gross of $52.02.5. Net of $3,930. The month before that, gross of $39.05. Net $3,009. And the month before that, I don't have the net. We just have the gross. $4,047.50. Alright. So there's 6 months worth of results. Now, Dwayne sort of alluded to something. There's one of our partners was searching stuff out on the internet, and he found some fella who spent years going around looking at different trading rooms and doing his own special analysis on the trading rooms. I gotta say, I don't think he's... I'm not giving any names, so I guess I can just say I don't think he's got any credibility at all. We've put up here on our spreadsheet up here for you. We fill the spreadsheet out after the live trading room. We take the trades live in front of you, and then we fill out the spreadsheet in front of you, and then we come in here, and we show you the spreadsheet. Mind you, all of this is being recorded. Everything that we do is recorded. I think that that's worth noting. I don't think that there are many other rooms out there that bother to go through the trouble of recording and saving for posterity the down days that they've had, the losing trades, that we've only had two down days this year. Okay, I'm not going to go any further in that direction. Two down days this year, we're down $60 a contract today. Let's get into the trades now, okay? Let's get into the trades. I am up, by the way. I was up 48 ticks on gold. In the break, I'll show you. There were a whole bunch of trades here in gold right in here. See, this is where we ended the morning session. We took a break even on our last short trade right here. We took a break even on this trade. And then there were more trades right in here. And I took a bunch of those and got myself up on the day. I never worry about being up on the day. My only concern is, you know, getting my 2 points and being up after during the live trading room. Okay? I can't always do it in 2 hours, but I'm confident that I can do it daily. Anyway. Let's see. On the Russell, we took a few trades. We ended minus 3 ticks on the Russell. Now, let's show this. I started out, I made a mistake on the Russell. I made a couple mistakes today, too, that actually cost us. I took this trade right here. I got a break even on it. Now, this trade went 4 ticks. No, I'm gonna point out every one of these trades that went 4 ticks, all right, every one of these trades I got a break even on, they all went 4 ticks, okay? I got a break even on that one. I took this trade right here, but I shouldn't have. This was my mistake this morning. I lost $80 a contract on that one. I went long on a close above the trend line. But the ES was going into a weekly trading zone. It stopped me out to the tick, and then it moved up. but I shouldn't have done this trade because I should have waited until it got through the weekly trading zone. Okay. As it was, I ended up losing 8 ticks on that. The next one right over here, we got, what did we get on that? We got a little bit of profit on that. We got 4 ticks profit on that. And over here, we got 1 tick profit on this one. All right, that put us at -3 on the day. Now, this one here that we got 1 tick profit on, that went 5 or 6 ticks in my favor, 4 ticks anyway, in my favor. And that was the end of the trading that we did on the Russell in the live trading room today. There were more opportunities in here, right in here, closing above the trend line, right in here, closing above the trend line. And that was pretty much it. That was it on the Russell. Not a ton of opportunity, but if I hadn't made that mistake, there was enough opportunity to take a profit. Now, let's look at this one. This is crude oil, and on crude, we ended -6. Let's go back to the beginning here. All right, this was our first trade of the day. That was a break-even trade. Now, that one also had, let's see, our entry was in here. I think it was 97.68 was our entry, and it dropped down to 97.61. Let's just say we could have taken 4 ticks out of that. But we didn't. We moved our stop to break-even. We ended up getting out of that at break-even, right? Then the next trade up here on crude, we stopped out of. All right, that was -8 ticks. The next trade right here, we took 10 ticks profit, so we're +2 ticks. Then we missed a trade, and it looks like, did we miss any more? Yeah, we missed another trade in here. We missed another trade here. Took another trade over here, and we stopped out on that one. So we're at -6 ticks right there, and that was the end of our morning session on crude oil. All right, so at that point, -3 on the Russell, -6 on crude. So let's jump over to soybeans. Okay, I'm going to slide crude way over here. Yeah, I know, I shouldn't have taken that trade. There I go, sweeping it under the rug, losing 8 ticks. yeah, that's me. That's me. All right, let me show you the soybeans, okay? Now, in the soybeans, we took this first trade right here, and we lost 8 ticks on that one, okay? We lost 8 ticks. We never had any opportunity to take profit on that trade. The next one right here, we had about 6 or 7 ticks profit in the trade from our entry, and we moved our stop to break even, and it came back and got us out at break even. So let's just say we had 4 ticks profit available in that trade. The next one here, we did have 4 ticks profit. We had 5 ticks, I think, in the next one available. Well, let's just call it 4. And we ended up getting a break even on that. So we ended -8 on the soybeans. Okay? I was looking for the soybeans to work their way down here, and I still think they're going to. If it breaks this level right here, if it breaks this level, it should get down there. That's what I was saying when we were in this short trade in here. I was saying, if it breaks this level, we should get down there, and we should get there quickly. Right now, the way that things look, there's no divergence to support a short trade, but Frank, look at these lines right here, and the slope, and the way they're working together. It's just going to break that 45.25 level. All right, that was soybeans. Now let me minimize the soybeans, and we'll go to the gold. All right, now on gold, the trades that we actually took, I took one over here right at the end of the morning session, too, that I didn't mark. I got to actually put that down. And I got to update my spreadsheet. Hold on. There was one trade that I didn't mark on gold, so I got to make this 16 trades. There. Now it's accurate. Sorry, didn't mean to sweep that under the rug. Let's see. That trade was, it was right over here. Right, we had this down close right there where I was short, and it came back and took me out right there. It did have 4 ticks profit in the trade. Let's see, over here we had a short trade, took a little bit of profit on that. I don't know how much. Over here we had a short trade that gave 4 ticks profit, and we ended up taking a break even on it. I'm just scrolling backwards. We missed a whole bunch in gold here. Any one of these trades that I missed in here in gold. If I would have taken it, we would have been up on the day. But as it turns out, you know, timing just wasn't right for me today. I took this short trade right here and took some profit on it. Missed this one. I missed this long. I missed this long. Either one of those would have put us up on the day. I missed this one. That would have made us probably break even on the day. I missed this one. That would have put us up on the day. I missed this one and this one and this one and this one. I could just go on and on. Over here, I took that one and we got a break even on it. Missed that one and that one and that one and that one. You know, what can I say? There's a lot of opportunity here today. Unfortunately, I was doing other things when the opportunity presented itself, and I ended up missing it. But I am, you know what, I'm keeping track of all the ones, all the break-even trades that I had that went 4 ticks minimum, just so I can illustrate something for you at the end. Okay, I'm going to minimize this right now. You know, there, slide it over. All right, the soybeans we already covered. The NQ, I didn't trade anything on the NQ. I didn't trade anything on the ES. I highlighted a couple areas here on the NQ. Right over here was one that I highlighted that didn't go anywhere. Here was one that I highlighted that did. There's just a ton of them in here on the NQ. There's another one setting up right here on the ES on the short side. Down close right here would be a short trade. A little bit of divergence, but a down close would be a short trade there on the ES. On the copper, I didn't trade the copper at all today. I did highlight one area, but I didn't trade it. Let's see. Yep, that's about it. That's about it. All right. I didn't do anything with the natural gas either, but the natural gas did have some trades in there this morning. Okay. Now let me just go through something. Of all the break-even trades that I took, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 200, 300. $330 a contract is what I left on the table with the break-even trades. That definitely would have put me up on the day. But you know what? It's not the way that I trade. I move my stop to break even aggressively, and I do it the same way every time. That's what gives me the majority of the days being profitable. You know, what do I have? 2 down days out of, we'll just average it, 20 days per month. So out of 120 days, I have 2 down days. That's pretty good, I think. I'll take that. And my largest down day wasn't even today. My largest down day was the last one in February. I was down $80 a contract. Today I was down $60 a contract.
Boo, but, yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I know. I know. I know. I'm not making excuses. Man. It was just a down day. You know, I didn't have it all. I didn't have it all right in the right place today. You know, it's all about the timing, really. You know, there is enough opportunity for me to get it all done in that 2-hour time frame. That's it. You know, I've said this 1,000 times. I never have any question about whether I'll be profitable on the day. The only question I have is whether I'll be profitable within the 2 hours. You know, I'm up 48 ticks on gold right now. That erases the minus 60, or the minus 6 ticks equivalent that we had. Now, I was up 13, and there was a lot of opportunity during the break. I was up 13 at the end of the break, and I just added to it, and I got myself up on the day. Now, that's just the way it is. You know, some days, I'm not going to get it all in the live trading room. That's it, guys. There is another opportunity. There's 2 more opportunities happening right now. An up close on this bar would be a long trade on gold, and that's the long trade right there on gold at 56.6. And over here and up, well, need to draw the trend line. The bar is going to finish. The setup's going to finish forming over here. Okay, I'm going to redraw that. But
what about
anyway,
what about the S&P?
The S&P has a short trade right here. Yep.
Yes, it does.
The S&P is short there. The gold that I just told you about right there, that's the difference between me being down and me being up on the day right there. And the crude oil, all right, that's it. That's all there is to it, guys.
And really, guys, this is a great it sounds kind of quirky to say, you know, it's a great lesson that we had a down day, but it breaks the monotony of every day coming on, got our points. Because at some point, it just becomes like a droning noise, and you don't even hear it anymore because we're saying the same thing every day. So, you know, trust me, we didn't purposely drop the ball just to spice things up. That's just how it played out. We'll never drop the ball on purpose. But what you have to accept as a trader, now, Michael, who has many years of experience trading, if it can happen to him, and you're just getting started, there's a high probability that it may happen to you more often than it does him, okay? And over time, as you're honing your skills and honing your craft, as they say, you'll get better, but you're never going to reach perfection. There is no such thing in trading as perfection where you always, quote unquote, get it right. Okay? Actually, perfection is getting stopped out and not going off the deep end because of it. Okay? Trust me, I know how hard it is. You work and study, and you mark up charts, and you sit in sim, and man, you just strategize and prophesy and pray, and you just do everything right. You do everything right. Everything you've read, everything you learned, everywhere you've been, you know, you got it all in one sock, okay? To borrow a military term. And then you finally get around to putting on that trade that you've been building up to now for weeks, months. You get stomped out. How could life be so cruel? Well, it's not life being cruel. It's just that you stepped into the flow of opportunity at precisely the wrong moment to the tick in some cases.
Yeah, that happened to me today on the Russell. That one that I messed up today on the Russell stopped me out to the tick and then went in favor. I mean, look at both of these trades right here. Now, this was the one that I said right here, the up close on this bar. That right there is, well, what is that? It was 56.6, I said, and it went up to 58.3. So that's $170 a contract. And this one over here, I said the up close on this bar was at 97.84, and that went up to 97.95. That's $110 a contract. So between the two of them, you have $280 a contract right there. And, you know what? That's a day. That's a whole day's work right there.
Probably the greatest lesson in learning how to trade has absolutely nothing to do with getting your points. It has to do with how you act when you don't get your points or don't meet your goal, you know, whatever that might be for you. David and I were talking about this the other day on the show. Life is, he brought it up in regards to something else, but I said, well, applied to life, I've heard it said that, you know, life is 10% what happens and 90% how you react to it. And I guess he was talking about trading, and then I applied it to the bigger picture of life. But I think that's very true. How you react to what happens, because you've spent all that time and all that energy that I was talking about, you know, preparing for that trade, and then when it doesn't work out, it doesn't seem logical to accept that, oh, well, that's how the cookie crumbles, go to the next trade. No, because you spent so much time preparing, you now want to dissect it all, and you want to figure out if, you know, the indicator was wrong, or if the guru was full of it, or, you know, we'll grasp for any, our mind wants something concrete that we can hang it on, when in fact it's as simple as you stepped into the flow of opportunity at the wrong time. So, well, now what do I do? Well, you got to step back in. Well, what if I step into the wrong place twice? Well, then you got a little catching up to do. You got to work for a living today. Okay. Some days it doesn't feel like work when you just sit down, hit the button, and hit your goal. Okay? Those days do happen, believe it or not, they really do. But many are the days where you'll have to really work. I mean, in other words, by work, you have to take more than one trade. You get behind, you get ahead, you get behind, you get ahead. It takes you a little bit to get to those 2 points. Hey, I got to grab my iPad, so if you can entertain the troops for like 30 seconds, I'll be right back.
I got it. All right. Hang on, let me shut off the recording here. If you guys have not taken a free trial of this, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get access to everything that you see in here, all the indicators, the charting platform, all that stuff for 5 business days. 5 business days. I say it like that because sometimes people try to take advantage of us, you know, our good nature. you get to sit in our live trading room for 5 business days. You get to, you know, you get to sit there and watch us take trades, winners, losers, the whole thing. All right. You get to listen to my entertaining, never mind. You get to hang out in the live trading room. And after the 5 days, if you choose to become a partner and you want to continue, well, then you just have to let us know. And we will happily send you off all the information you need. We send it off to you anyway. But if you want it, then just let us know. All right? Send us a quick email at support@cfrn.net, and we'll send you all the information you need to become a partner. Granted, today was not a banner day, but that's okay. I don't mind having a down day twice in 6 months. One thing to keep in mind is never let a single down day define who you are as a trader. Okay? I don't know if Dwayne has said that yet, but I know that that's something we've said in the past. Never, ever let a single down day define who you are as a trader. All right? One down day is nothing in the scheme of things. 2 down days is nothing in the scheme of things. You know, we calculate our results monthly for a reason. You know, we do everything daily, but, you know, we start a new month. We don't start, like, every day we don't say, okay, well, you know, we were up 100 yesterday. That's it. You know, when the month rolls over, then we tabulate the results. You know, if you look at it, by the end of the year, I don't know what we'll be up by the end of the year, but I'd venture to say we'll be up probably $50,000-$60,000 a contract by the end of the year, I would think. All right, and that's a fair amount of money, considering that it's 2 hours per day, it's one contract, and you know, you guys can multiply that by as many times as you want. You know, that is the beauty of all this. I'm going to stop the recording. Okay, the recording has been stopped. I want to bring over the trades that I showed a few minutes ago for you again. Now, this was the crude trade right here. Now, if you missed the first one, you could have gotten in again right here. I would have gotten a break even on the second one. Right here, we're losing our divergence. Okay, so there's not a lot of opportunity there. Those of you guys who are partners, remember what I had said in the past about the bar colors and the divergence of the other lines down here? Again, just look at that. Go look at your charts and look at that. You see? Go take a look at your charts and see when that happened again and again and again and again and again. And I think you'll find something in there. The beans finally made the move. Yeah, they're on their way. They're on their way. I had said this morning that this right here is the level that I expect them to get down to. And they're getting there. They're getting there. We don't have a trade set up. But what did I say this morning, Pete? I said, if you were going to do this, we don't have a trade set up. But if you put a sell stop on at 44.5, that's what I was looking at. So if you got that sell stop on there at 44.5, you made 2.5 cents on that so far, max. And I do think it's going to get down here. But, yeah. Yeah, you could buy a used hot dog cart. I think they're Frank. It's the license to sell the hot dogs. That's what you can't afford. All right. Gold, has it got another one? Nope, it doesn't. I thought it was going to have another one setting up. On the gold over here, though, I showed you on the crude, but on the gold over here, there was this original trade up here that went, you know, whatever it was, $170 a contract to 17 ticks. There was a follow-up trade right here. Okay. You would have been drawing your trend line like that. So you would have followed it up right in there. All right. And there's nothing here right now. Right. If we jump back over here and look at the soybeans are pulling back. If they pull all the way back up to the BBC, then you'll have your divergence there, so you'll be able to short it. Okay. The Russell's got a little bit of bullish divergence, so I don't like the way the divergence has come together. We're not coming off a higher swing. It's just a little messy in here, the way the Russell is coming together. I don't think it's going to keep going up. Not right now. This is the crude again. All right, you need it to. You see how the green line got into the cycle? It needs to put in a higher swing. It needs to close above this level right here. You need closes above that level, otherwise this is topping action right here, and it'll probably drop. That's it. That's what we got going on right now. Anybody have any questions about any of this? I just slipped back into live trading room mode.
All right, I'm back. Guys, we're in preliminary discussions to do a couple things differently, and nothing's been ironed out yet. Michael might start opening the trading room a little early, and I may be teaching a series of classes in the afternoon, but I've got to juggle that with my existing schedule and the two new radio programs. The classes, if I do them, will be Monday through Thursday, and I've got to work those around the new radio program that we're launching. One of the new shows is on Friday, which is a reminder, this Friday. I haven't checked with John yet. John Garfield is the author of the book Releasing Kings for Ministry in the Marketplace. Great book. You can learn more about it by going to releasingkings.com. And on our blog or in the iTunes store, you can listen to the podcast of our first interview with John. John is a CFRN partner. He's doing great. And I really want you to get a hold of the concept behind this book. Now, this book was written, you know, long before I met John, before he became a CFRN partner. But how the two philosophies come together and meld, I think you'll find it to be compelling. I think it's a great word. So do check that out. And because it's a holiday, I don't know for sure that John's going to be available for our scheduled podcast or broadcast this Friday afternoon. But if he's available, I'm available. And if we miss it this week, then we'll pick it up next Friday. But I'll update you. We'll take this week, Michael and I, to work out our schedules and to decide if we are going to make any changes. And if so, we'll keep you abreast of those. And there was one other question I had. I don't remember what it is, so we'll let it go for now. Again, we'll not be here Thursday. We'll be on holiday. The market will only be closed for a few hours. Closes early on Wednesday and then reopens Thursday afternoon, 5 p.m. Chicago time for the Friday session. Now, Friday may be light, a lot of people on holidays. So with that said, we're still going to be here. And we're still going to do the live trading room, and we're still going to do the radio show. David has said that PageTrader will not be open for business. The Messenger Pro product will not be operating. But he said that he might come on the radio show and chat with us, as he sometimes does on a holiday. Anything else, Michael? We covered it all?
That's pretty much it. I think we got it covered.
All right, guys. That short trade that we spoke about on the S&P, that's sort of getting into full swing here right now.
Yep.
Have you still got – you want me to take the charts?
You can grab the charts if you want.
All right.
You can grab them. The short trade that was there, we did get a close above that level on crude oil that I said we needed to get a close above. We did get that close up there, so we did continue the trend on crude. Okay.
So, guys, down here is the bearish divergence. Okay, and it's and if that sounds confusing or green lines at the top, red lines at the bottom, just forget about this line in the middle. I don't really use that one. Green line at the top, red line at the bottom, bearish divergence. If it was reversed, it would be bullish. Okay? Bearish cross. Price pulls away, price pulls back. And I guess on this one, Michael, you didn't really need a trend line because there was no change in the cycle color, correct?
Right. If it hits the BBC and the cycle's red, you don't need a trend line.
Yep. Yep.
You don't have to wait.
All right. So here we are back on the hourly. Okay, there's a 1621 up there. See what's happening. I've got a feeling this might be the high of the day. And if we don't do something overnight, it could be the high of the week. We still have two zones overhead. One is imminent, and one is way the heck up there, to use a technical term. All right, we're going to go to talk to David Williams at PageTrader.com. Stand by for a brief station identification, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Oh, that button's gonna
to be learn good. More about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
How are you and your little spark doing?
Well, the spark is great. We've been, as you probably know, it's been kind of hot.
Oh, my goodness.
Out here, we had 117 yesterday. Very, very hot temperatures, you know, and it's really funny that when the sun goes down, it stays 117.
Yeah.
The afterglow is there for quite some time. And but I'll tell you this, 117, the temperature's there, but without the sun in the sky beating down on you,
right?
It's actually almost livable.
Yeah,
it's
almost.
When that sun is in the sky, it makes a huge difference. The amount of cooking heat is different. It's a different kind of feeling. How about you? You must have had 120, no doubt.
Well, you know, I saw 119 on the temperature gauge in my car, but I'm pretty sure it must have hit 120. We were out driving around, and the air conditioner had gone out in my truck, and a friend who does AC work. I now have a friend that does AC work, car AC work. I've got a friend who does residential air conditioning, but I didn't have a car guy. Now I got a car guy. And for $50, actually, he didn't even want any money. I forced $50 on him. He just wanted to do it for free. He put the Freon in, and he replaced a thing called the dryer. I didn't even know there was such a part. And in some cars, it's called the accumulator.
Mm-hmm.
But in mine, it's called the dryer. And so anyway, it just blows ice cold now.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, he didn't charge because he used Freon. It's free right in the worker.
That's funny.
I'm going to go ahead and use the Freon on this
last
job.
Last night, I'm sitting – that's good. I was sitting at my desk midnight, and all of a sudden, this wind came up. And, I mean, it was like – it was a howler. And that typically, you know, indicates the onset of the monsoons.
Mm-hmm.
But the 1st of July is much too early for monsoon season.
You guys get them in August usually.
Right.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, boy, if we have to go through an entire month of July and then August of the rains and the humidity, that will be brutal. But it is what it is.
It is what it is. It's very hot.
So you took your car out, you did some, you blew the dust out, or however they say
that? Well, I had to, you know, you have to kind of get used to it and how it lays, how the power band is and how it all lays out and all that stuff. And you do that by pulling up to stoplights and having people look at you and just completely, you know, disregard you because it's such a silly little thing, the mm-hmm. car. And then when the light turns green, you silently, without any sound at all, just scoot across the intersection and zip completely down the road. That's what you do to sort of practice and get your stuff together. Anyway, no, it's been wonderful. It's a very, very fun car. It will easily do more than 100 miles on a charge, easily. Yesterday had driven about 53 miles, and I still had 67 miles left on the battery. Now, I had, and so what does that add up to? 67 plus 53 is 120, and that's me driving lightly, though, because I knew I had to zip around town and do a lot of things, so I just, you know, just drove normally. You can squirt here or there, but basically you're not, you know, really driving it hard. So that's a very nice thing, the range anxiety for a person that lives in a small town like Las Vegas. And this isn't quite so small anymore. You can drive quite a bit, you know, Summerlin and some of these other little towns that are around Las Vegas. But it's been great. It's a lot of fun, and it's much faster than the Volt is. That's for sure. It definitely accelerates harder than the Volt does. So
that was one of the questions. Let's see, where did that go?
Well, I'm glad people are asking questions about the Chevy Spark EV. That's great.
With a small mile range, how did you get the car from California to Las Vegas?
Well, it was just a simple act of putting it on a truck. It was $395 to have it sent from California to here. They don't sell them anywhere but California and soon Oregon, and then they will slowly begin releasing them in other states. This car has a lot. It doesn't have all the features of the Volt, which, like, you know, it has keyless entry, but not the little button on the door that you can push, and if it senses your key, it opens automatically. There's a lot of little high-end features that the Volt has. But it has a lot of nice, very nice usable features. The air conditioning I now know works very well because we had 117 temperature and it blew nice and cold. When you use the air conditioning, that does reduce your overall range by a certain amount. I would say that if driving gently, you could do 110 miles. Probably with air on, you might be looking somewhere closer to 80 to 85. I mean, it takes a chunk off by blowing that hard, if you're turning it on hard and blowing it, because it's using the same energy source as your but still, it's basically a commuter car, a city car. It's not meant for long trips across, you know, the wide open plains. It's just for you zipping around town and getting all your things done and all that. I didn't buy it because I'm green, because I love the green movement. I do like the green movement, but I don't love it. I didn't buy it to save money on gasoline. I bought it because it has 400 foot-pounds of torque, and it weighs 3,000 pounds. That's why I bought it. And because it doesn't look like it's kind of a sleeper. It doesn't look like it can scoot, and it really does. I mean, it gets right down out of its own way. So I had a great time with it, and I would like to encourage the listeners again, like I have for now years on this radio program, to go check out the electric cars. You're going to love them. You will never go back to piston engine cars. Those of you with trucks and vans and station wagons, and unless you have a real need, and some people do, for a big vehicle, but a lot of people just want to have a truck. They don't really haul anything with it. They just like a big truck. You know, you can save an enormous amount of money on gasoline. So there you are. It's been a lot of fun. I'll send a picture. I'll take a picture of it and show it to you. You can put it up on the site there. So if anybody sees me in the traffic out here, I think I'm the only person in Las Vegas right now. There'll be more, but I got, as soon as they delivered them to California, I was ready to scoop it up. So probably the first guy in Las Vegas with one. And they have a few things that's interesting. They have a screen in the center console that tells you how much battery conditioning is going on. And what battery conditioning is either something called cell balancing, which is a feature that the car does to the battery, or it's conditioning the battery, cooling or heating the battery. With 115 degree, 117 temperature yesterday, and I drove about 80 miles total yesterday, only about 4% of the battery's energy was used to do battery conditioning. In other words, even with that heat, they only had to use the conditioning, the running the, you know, the cooling system for the battery. 4% of the energy was used doing that. So it's not like the battery was cooking in there anyway with the really, really hot heat. I don't know how they've isolated it, but it used very little of that. So, you know, the car, this car, it's a subcompact. It's smaller than a compact car, but sit in it, take it for a drive around. If it's big enough for you, and it is for me, I really love the kinds of cars. I mean, I've had all kinds of cars in my life, but I really love the, my enthusiasm for cars came back alive again with the electrics. I mean, it really just, was almost dying out over the last 12, 15 years. I mean, really that long. I used to be a car nut, but now with the renewal of the electrics and this, or not the renewal, but the, the startup of the electrics here, it's just been a wonderful thing. So you'll see. You'll see. And I showed it to my daughter, and she really loved it. Very cute little thing. And like I said, when you're at a stoplight, it looks exactly like just a little economy car that people would, just not even think twice about. And it's really a very sophisticated piece of machinery. So check it out. Chevy Spark EV. You probably don't have one in your area unless you live in California. You can also check out the Chevy Volt. I happen to have one of those as well now. So I've got two cars, and the Chevy Volt is better for longer-term driving if you're going to be going longer trips because it has a range-extending motor on it, gas engine that produces electricity for the electric motors after your battery is depleted. And that's enough about cars, Duane. Don't get me started on them because I'll just go on and on and on. You know that. So let's see, what else? Other than the heat and the upcoming holiday here, there's a lot of market movement today that is indicative of kind of semi-straight line moves. A lot of markets are doing things, and we'll get to that as we get a little closer here to going over the markets. But a lot of very nice directional movement today in the market, just singular directional moves. We'll see how the market plays out over the next couple of days, because this is, in fact, a holiday week, isn't it? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Duane? Anything else on your end before we get in here?
I was just having to send off an email. Somebody keeps trying to reset one of my passwords. Oh. This is, you get the email that says, hi, blah, blah. This is the final step in resetting your password. Just click here to confirm that you really do want to change your password. Well, guess what? I really don't.
Want to change my password.
I don't, and I want to know what IP address this request is coming from so that I can call the dogs out.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what some of the listeners are going to do with their holiday weekend, because effectively we have a four-day holiday weekend here.
I didn't bring this up at the beginning of the show. We did talk about it in the live trading room, and we did talk about it this morning on the conference call during our morning devotional. But our hearts go out to the families of those firefighters who lost mm-hmm. their lives over the weekend here mm-hmm. In this just incredible tragedy. And mm-hmm. It turns out that some of the guys this morning on the conference call actually knew more about what had happened than even I did, and I live here in Arizona. And for those of you who may not know what I'm talking about, 14 firefighters fighting a wildfire, which is something we deal with here in the desert every year. 14 firefighters lost their life fighting the fire in, I believe it's Yarnell. Is that correct?
I'm not sure where it was, but that's the most that has been lost in decades. It was a long, long time ago when they lost a group. It's really incredible when you think about it.
Randall and Dan both say that the report, said 19. If I said something other than 19, let me scoot over here to Google, and I don't know why it happened. Did the wind shift? Did it turn back
Maybe.
On them? Let's go fire. Fighter tragedy. Sacramento area firefighters react to Arizona wildland fire tragedy. I guess they're sending in people to help. When we all ask him what he thought went wrong. It was probably very rapid changing conditions on the ground. They weren't prepared for it, is my gut feeling. So in other words, I'm guessing probably when I was in the Navy, I was a sonar technician on a ship. There is a class, an MOS or a job description for firefighter, but everyone on a ship has to go through firefighter training, because on a ship, you know, a fire's a dangerous thing. And so everyone knows how to operate the hoses and all of the different best practices to put on the smoke mask and the whole thing. And I have a lot of respect for those guys, because just some of the things that they put us through, and we went through none of the training, the full-blown training, like the guys who that was their full-time job. But, man. Oh, and when they put you in that, they put you in this little room, this sealed up little room, and they release tear gas, and then they release some other kind of a thing, and you have to stand there, and you have to take it for a certain amount of time until you're all teared up, and then you're allowed, oh, then they give the command, okay, now put on your mask. So then you're struggling, man, because you're just being overcome by this smoke or the tear gas. They did both, I think it was, on different days. And you get your mask on, and then without freaking out and without running for the door, in a very controlled manner, once everybody gets their mask on, and that's the deal, nobody gets to leave until every man has his mask on. And sometimes that requires a couple guys going over and helping another guy, because you're really being overcome by this, and then slowly, orderly, you single file out of that little room. And I remember standing outside, just looking at that room, and putting myself in the shoes of men who have the courage to, you know, like with 9/11, we saw all the people running out of the buildings. But there was a select group of men and women who were running into the building as everyone else ran out. Because that's their job, and that's what they have committed and taken an oath, I suppose, to do, is that they'll run into harm's way to save and protect and help others. And I have just so much admiration and respect for those men and women. I really do. And so, again, our hearts go out to their families. Just such a shame.
Yeah, surprise.
Such a shame. Yeah. And that's something, guys, that, you know, every year we deal with in Arizona. And I don't know, David, do you guys have anything to burn in Nevada?
We do. We have utility poles. We have transformers that sometimes catch on fire out here. But we have a real – it's a – you know, Las Vegas is not surrounded by anything like growth or anything. We don't have what you have there to start a fire. Buildings might catch on fire or something like that. But the most – fires that we have been hotel or transformer related, business places that start on fire for whatever reason. So, again, I do want to say one more time, because I mentioned this last week, and I just want to remind people that if you know somebody that's elderly or you are relatives to somebody, it'd be a real good idea for you to do them a favor, come by and or send somebody by, spend $39 and have somebody do a quick check on their air conditioner to make sure that something isn't squeaking or that bearings aren't getting close to going out. Because if that happens, the heat buildup inside of a house is surprisingly fast, and you can get up to 95 degrees sometimes just within an hour. And if a person is elderly, that can, or even not so elderly, that can make a huge difference to them on a bad, in a bad way, could cause them to heat stroke or any other kind of thing. So you could do somebody a favor, especially during the hot seasons, or really even more wisely prior to the hot season, double check that their air conditioner, or send somebody over for a quick, you know, tune-up or whatever of their air conditioner to make sure things are not ready to go out. Because the most common thing is for that fan to stop turning, that fan that removes all the hot air. And when it stops turning, that hot air heats up the compressor. The compressor is already trying to do its work, and the compressor shuts off because it has a feature to do that. And when the compressor shuts off, the thing is just blowing hot air. So not only is your house not getting cooled, it's actively being heated by the air conditioner. So you can ramp up temperatures very, very quickly inside a home. And I'll tell you, out here in Las Vegas, we every year people die because of faulty air conditioning in these temperatures, elderly people. It just happens every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I first moved here, I remember thinking to myself, why? What is it with this town that, you know, it gets hot and people die? How does that work? And I understand now. You know, they having had an elderly mother and having been around all this, it really does happen. So, you know, keep an eye on the elderly's air conditioning and do them a favor and have that checked. It's very inexpensive to have somebody come out and do that for them. And hopefully you can, you know, maybe you end up saving a life potentially or some great amount of trouble. In fact, my aunt, an aunt of mine, had a stroke because of air conditioning failure in her house. Or the doctor, they don't really know if that's directly related, but her air conditioning failed, it got hot, she had a stroke. So she was elderly.
And while, of course, you want to think about your friends and your family, think about someone who might live in your neighborhood or on your street who perhaps is elderly and maybe they don't have any family left or they don't have, you know, anyone to check on them and care for them. You know, I'm just going to tell you, there's so many lonely people in the world, and especially as older people get older, you know, friends and family pass, maybe they never had children. I had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time this weekend with someone. In fact, it was the fellow who was so kind to fix my air conditioning. I met him and his sister, and I was struck by, I mean, they have a nice little life. I mean, it's, but they're just, they were, they, you could just tell that they were lonely and that they, you know, and being lonely is such a, and some people want to be alone. Some people just leave me alone, you know. But other people don't. They want human connection and they want friendships. And sometimes it's difficult for some people to make friends. And I was just, I was struck by. So we're making plans 4th of July to do a barbecue. And we don't, we hardly even know these people. We just met them here recently because of my wife's job. But we're going to go and we're going to do 4th of July, do a picnic somewhere. Just, so think about that. People in your neighborhood, on your street, you know, if you have some time, you know, we always think that, you know, doing good means giving money. And it can be that, but a much more valuable asset is your time, because money, you can always make more money. If you give away all your money, you can go make some more. But your time, you can't make more time. What you got's what you got. And so how you invest it is very important, I think. Notice I said how you invest your time, not how you spend your time.
Good distinction. All right. Well, so there you are. So, yeah, no, we have a lot of people are going to be in Las Vegas here this weekend, this upcoming weekend. It's going to be big. A lot of people are going to be here zipping around, having probably a great holiday weekend. And a lot of those people are lonely, too, come to think of it.
They are. Mm-hmm, they are.
Strangely enough. But it is a lot of fun out here. We do have a new, just for people who might want to come to Las Vegas, there's a couple of new things that are happening. We have a Wet and Wild, which is a theme, it's kind of an amusement water park. And they just opened that up, and it's big, and it's got really wonderful things you can do. If you're an outdoors type and don't mind being in the heat, but with all the water, make sure you put sunscreen on. I want to tell you something interesting before we go on, and then I promise we'll get to the markets here. I was standing in line at the bank the other day. The bank had just opened. Wells Fargo out here will open on Sundays at 11 o'clock, and they'll stay open. They're wonderful. Great bank. And I was standing in line behind somebody who I could tell by the back of his arms and just the way his skin was leathered and old and all that. I could tell that he was elderly. I couldn't see his face. He was dressed decently. He was wearing kind of a pair of sort of Bermuda shorts. And he turned around, and I was really shocked at how elderly he was. His face was extremely old and leathery looking. Mm-hmm. And I could tell that he didn't have all of his teeth because of the way that his mouth would move.
Right.
Because when, you know, because of the gums and so on.
Sure.
And so I thought, well, you know, he's getting up there in years. That's the first thing that popped in my mind. And as I was standing in line behind him, and I was thinking, well, at least he dressed nicely. He's dressed crisply and nicely. I looked down, since he was wearing Bermuda shorts, and I looked at his legs. Mm-hmm. And the backside of his calves looked like they belonged to a 25-year-old.
Really?
They had super nice skin, nice muscle tone. It was like those legs belonged to a completely different human being. I was so struck by how different his calves and legs looked compared to the whole rest of his body. It was like two completely different people. And it struck me, this is a man who has spent an enormous amount of his life out in the sun, cooking in the sun, except for his calves. And it really, have you ever taken a look at the underside of your arm and how nice the skin looks because it's not cooking in the sun your whole life? Well, this was a man who had been cooking in the sun his whole life, and his calves, he must have recently just begun wearing these kinds of Bermuda shorts, whatever they call them, because his calves looked like a man 40 years younger at least. So it really struck me how brutal the sun is to your physical appearance if you are radiating yourself every single day like this guy apparently was. I've never seen anything quite like that. I was really struck by the difference between those two body parts and how had he had some different kind of work indoors, out of the sun, what he would have looked like. And I was imagining with my mind trying to unage him to try to figure out what he looked like, but he looked so aged, I couldn't even unage him. You know how you can do that? You look at somebody and kind of shrink them back to like another time when they were all put together better and a younger time. I really couldn't do that. So just a reminder that you get enough sun trying everything you can do to avoid it. That's, you get enough. Because that's just the way it works. Reflected light coming in from outside, and when you, the few times you stand outside, it cooks you. So if you want to take good care of your skin, don't spend a lot of time in the sun, because the striking difference between 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, a lot in the sun, and seeing this guy's calves and legs, it couldn't possibly have belonged to the same guy, and yet it did. So anyway, kind of a little interesting.
You know, I think
there.
Part of wrinkling can be, I think, genetic or hereditary. My grandmother, on my dad's side, she was a housewife most of her life. So as a younger woman, she did pick cotton in the cotton fields down in Georgia, probably up until, I guess, she was 30, maybe 30. And so that might have done it there, but she's a very healthy woman. I mean, she was
good.
The type of person, you go to her house, hey, Grandma, could I get an aspirin? Oh, son, you know, we don't keep drugs around here.
Mm-hmm.
No, Grandma, I just wanted, could I get an aspirin?
Right.
Well, you know, your grandfather, he used to take those things. Let me look up here in the counter and see if maybe there's still, you know. I mean, that's how healthy this woman is. But she has the most incredibly deep set wrinkles I've ever seen.
Maybe she could still work for the Wrinkling Brothers Circus. Maybe that would be something she could do with her time.
Oh.
Okay, I'll just move right past that, and we'll get right over the markets.
Gosh. Let me see. I think I might have had one headline that was worth notating. Let me look real quick. I've got it loaded up. Jeffrey Skilling, the Enron CEO, his prison sentence has been reduced by 10 years. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to get 24, and it's been reduced to 14. But this was the one that I found very interesting. A growing number of American workers are confronting a very frustrating predicament on payday. In order to get their wages, they must first pay a fee. For these largely hourly workers, paper paychecks and even direct deposit have been replaced by prepaid cards issued by their employers. Employees can use these cards, which work like debit cards, at an ATM to withdraw their pay. But in the overwhelming majority of cases, using the card involves a fee, and those fees can quickly add up. One provider, for example, charges $1.75 to make a withdrawal from most ATMs. They charge $2.95 if you want a paper statement printed out, and if you need your card replaced, $6. Some even have to pay a $7 inactivity fee if they don't use their cards. Now, some of us might go, well, you know, come on, that's not a lot of money. Well, actually, when you're working I don't know exactly what minimum wage is now, David. Is it $7.50? Do you know?
I'm not sure. To be honest with you, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, let's use that number until somebody types in the accurate number. If you're making $7.50 an hour, chances are, if you're earning minimum wage, you're probably working pretty doggone hard for your money. You know, you may be in fast food, but you're on your feet all day, and people are barking orders, and customers are unhappy, and bells and buzzers are going off. So you are earning that money. And so to then have to pay $1.75 just to get some cash out of the machine, I don't know what the percentage of that is, but if Michael was here, he could do it off the top of his head. But it's substantial. These fees can take such a big bite out of paychecks that some employees end up making less than minimum wage once the charges are taken into account. Devont Gates, 21, who earns $7.25 an hour working at a drive-through at a McDonald's in Milwaukee, says he spends on average $40 to $50 a month on fees associated with his J.P. Morgan Chase payroll card. It's pretty bad, he said. There's a fee for literally everything you do. Certain transactions with the Chase Pay card are free, according to the fee schedule. Many employees say they have no choice but to use the cards. Some companies no longer offer common payroll options like ordinary checks or direct deposit. At companies where there is a choice, it's often more in theory than in practice. According to interviews with employees, state regulators, and consumer advocates, employees say they are often automatically enrolled in the card program and confronted with a pile of paperwork if they want to opt out. Taco Bell, Walgreens, Walmart are among the dozens of well-known companies that use the prepaid card system to pay their workers, and it's quickly gaining momentum. In 2012, $34 billion, B as in boy, dollars was loaded onto 4.6 million active payroll cards, according to the research firm 8 Group. 8 said it expects that number to reach 68.9 billion and 10.8 million cards by 2017. Companies and card issuers, including Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, said the cards are cheaper and more efficient than checks. A calculator on Visa's website estimates that a company with 500 employees will save $21,000 a year by switching from checks to payroll cards. And on the Citigroup website, they trumpet how the cards guarantee pay on time to all employees. So I think this is an issue. In my last company, when I had 50 employees, Bank of America, out of the blue, one Friday, all my employees went in to cash their paycheck, and they had a sign up that is, if you don't have a Bank of America account, you got to pay $5 to cash your check. And so my employees start calling me from the bank, because I had some employees. I always, my entry-level employees, I paid a little better than minimum wage. Now, I also had employees making $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 a year. But if you came in entry-level off the street, no experience, that's where you started with an opportunity to earn a lot more. But when they're confronted, you know, with a $5 fee just to cash their check that they – now, I went storming into the bank. I was just furious. I said, how dare you? Well, they don't have an account with Bank of America. I said, yeah, but I do. My money, all of my business accounts, all my personal accounts, everything is under one roof here with Bank of America. I've shown you incredible loyalty. Now you're going to do this to my employees, charge them $5. Well, they can open an account. And I'm sad to say that actually we turned those lemons into lemonade, because most of the employees who were being hit with that fee were people who had never had bank accounts. And so I was able to work with the bank manager, and they were able to relax their stringent requirements somewhat to make sure that each one of my employees that wanted one was able to get a bank account. Because maybe you guys don't know this, but when you go in to open a bank account these days, they run you through this thing called checks systems or something. And if you've got any bad marks on your permanent record, they might actually deny you. Even if you're standing there with money and say, I want to open an account, put it in your bank, they might turn you down. So all my employees, you know, ended up getting a bank account because of it. But that was the beginning, and now this. What are your thoughts, David? You've been an employer with a lot of employees in the past.
Well, you know what? The idea originated, this idea that you're talking about originated in the adult industry. It did not start in where it is now. It's been transferred over to this.
Explain.
The adult industry out here in Las Vegas, when you go to what are somewhat unusually called gentlemen's clubs.
Okay. I got you.
The girls that are dancers are mm-hmm. paid through tips, and they're also paid by a check. There's also a you can be paid by checks. So the whole adult you know, club industry out here, somebody had come up with an idea, because this was in 2003 they were doing this out here, 2004. So they pay the girls with a card. The girls can opt for the card. If they opt in for the card, they can go to an ATM machine and get paid, and they would charge them sizable fees. The girls are agreeing to these fees to be able to, you know, and the ATM machine, by the way, is right on the premises. They can mm-hmm. basically get paid, put their card in a machine on the premises, and get their money. So that's where it started. And the fees are much higher in that. That's a whole world unto itself, and the fees are much, much higher. You'd be appalled if you heard of the fees they charge the girls that dance there. It's a whole different thing. Hmm. I mean, an ATM inside of one of those places is, I think, 10% now. So if you want $100, they charge you
$10. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So,
boy, they're really taking advantage of. They know that. Well, we know that these people are driven, and
Yeah, that's what it is. But anyway, so that's where it started, and then now it's expanded out where you can utilize it, and it's another, you know, it's like employers are now getting in line with the banks to do the fee thing, where they just nick you a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there, and. That's the business. Now, admittedly, there are some expenses for the employer setting that up and so on, but I think a lot of people would deeply appreciate an employer who absorbed those expenses. They can't be that much. Maybe they are. I don't think so. But in favor as a benefit to the employees, or at least reduce them dramatically, because it is. It adds up over time, and especially people who are running at minimum wage and all that. It's just ridiculous to be asking people to do that. But I would rather just have them direct deposit the check and go to the bank or whatever. But that's the thing you're trying to save these people, is the necessity to go do that. So direct deposit is another angle where the money's already in the bank, and then you can go to an ATM and withdraw it and so on. That seems like a better way to go.
Well, I just remember, I talked about this on a show not too long ago, that Friday was always a special day, and there was just something about, after you work all week, getting handed that paycheck, and I've been the one who got handed the paycheck and the one who handed out the paychecks, and it was just a very, I don't know, kind of a meaningful time for me. No matter which side of the table I was on, I don't know, and I kind of miss that, the fact that there's no paper check.
You're saying
involved.
The whole, the real paper paycheck, like here's your check, you know, thank you for next week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was, I was kind of, I don't know.
Well, it's a different world we're living in, and there's no doubt about it. We're living right through a big, big change in a number of different things. So, well, anyway, that's interesting. Stay out of the sun if you want to keep your skin in good shape. I'm telling you.
True story.
All right, let's want to move on to the markets, Dwayne?
Let's do it.
Take a look
at
everything. Okay. Well, the S&P 500. Let's start with this. This is a this is the big market that used to be the big thing that everybody loved to trade, and it still is very much that. It's been very, very good lately, a lot of big moves. Let's talk about where we think we are. We've talked about this on the program, that the week of June 24th should mark a very important bottom for a multi-week advance. We're in that advance now. This is a holiday week. You know, seasonally or sort of traditionally, you'll see a lot of nice behavior in markets, rallies, good-feeling markets doing nice moves on holiday weeks. It's just the way it is. It's just, you could almost say that people are just happy and they're buying. You know, maybe they're happy because they have a four-day holiday coming up. And we're seeing that in the S&P, the continued advance off of the weekly bottom. And we should see substantially higher prices coming. We've given out all the price levels on our end. This is subscription-based, but one of the things I did mention on the program last week was that the advance would initially run to 1629 to 1630. We're not there yet, but that is what we're expecting. And again, this is multi-week stuff. This market may also not give you the kinds of moves we're seeing in a number of different markets, not just the S&P, but this market may not give you much of a chance to actually get in it. It may just be one of those very fast reversals that you just have to deal with. And now we're having a little bit of a pullback now. Maybe this will give an opportunity. But we think that higher prices are coming on a weekly basis. So that takes us into next week and potentially even the week after. So that's the bigger picture outlook, the bigger weekly bottom, and so on. And they got started right away today when everyone got in. As you may recall, we talked about this last week with where there was a daily reflected wave bottom inside a weekly bottom. And that's a very powerful, potent combination for a fast move up. You can't know with all the certainty, 100% certainty, anything, but you can have very good probabilities that you work with. Once you have agreed or come to terms with the idea that it simply is the probabilities that you're learning to play, you realize that is what the game is to work the probabilities in your favor. Just like anything else you do, you know, like we've talked about driving a car or whatever you do, you know there's danger, but you're driving in a manner that works the probabilities very nicely so that you can get to where you're going and not have to run into a little weird Jewish guy running around in a Chevy Spark, as an example. You want to avoid that as best you can. So we manage probabilities in every area of our lives. That's what we're doing here in the markets. We're uncovering high probabilities and then managing the trade from that point forward. So I do think higher prices are coming. I think these pullbacks are buying territory for further advance to some of the numbers we talked about earlier. Intraday, the next important target for us would be up at around 1624. Today's high so far has been 1620.50, so it's likely we're going to see a tradable move up to that. But putting all that aside, multi-week advance, holiday week, good feelings, nice movement, and I think it's likely that the day, and again, you notice I'm saying likely, I think it's likely that they're going to close today above 1614. So we're very close to that level right now.
Okay, let me take a look at that. 1614. That's very interestingly. Partners are all scratching their head going, you know what? These guys aren't fooling anybody. They're in cahoots every day before the radio show. They know each other's. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I haven't looked at David's numbers today. I haven't. And I doubt seriously David's looked at my numbers because he's busy doing his own thing. But here we go. Again, in the midst of this radio show, he throws out a number that, you know, our partners are using. And so for the partners, it's really, I know, beneficial because they got the email this morning with our numbers, the weekly zones for the week. And then here comes David on the show. And trust me, David is not putting that number out because it's one of our numbers. No, that is a number he arrives at based upon his own proprietary methodology of looking at the markets. But when you, we've said this so often, but it's so important, when two completely different methodologies overlap and point to the same number, there's there's a high probability that you can somehow use that information to your advantage. Now, to take that another level, just having that number, that and $5 will buy you a coffee at Starbucks. You got to know how to trade that number and how to use that number, but that's a whole nother, you know, issue. But it's worth saying it. You got to have more than just the number. So.
Oh yeah, no, you have to have some skill to put it together and and all that. There you are. So, you know, for the week, I think we're going to have generally good feelings this week expressed in markets. I'm seeing it a lot today, and I think it's probably going to thematize. There's a word that doesn't really exist. Thematize the week.
Thematize.
It's going to be the theme of the week, which is that the markets tend to want to, you know, stay up above recent lows and rally and so on. So we'll continue to watch that. Those numbers are important to us. We like the idea of buying pullbacks, and we're going to continue to do so during today's session and tomorrow and so on. And we will be here all the way through Wednesday, because Thursday is July 4th.
Right.
We do take off Friday, but I may be able to get on the radio station. Of course, Duane, I'll text you and let you know. I'd love to do it.
Yeah,
and
that'd be great.
We'll be back on Monday to our normal schedule.
And the market's going to close, my understanding, 3 hours early on Wednesday. And so that would be
a half day.
You know, when they say they're going to close 3 hours early, I guess they're talking about the final close of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they close
reopen
and then close again?
Yeah.
So
the pit session will close. The normal everybody knows about it session will close 4 hours early.
Yeah, I'll put it on the blog tonight, guys. But if you want, you can always just Google CME holiday hours, and they'll even give you a nice little calendar you can print out that shows all the different holiday dates and hours for the rest of the year. Now, I just did some Fibonacci extensions here on the S&P on a daily chart from the swing
low. Sounds like an exercise. I can't come to the phone right now. I'm doing some Fibonacci extensions. Just give me a minute. I'll get right. Your message is important to me, but I'm going to finish these extensions. I'll be right back with you. Go ahead.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. So we've got a level up here at 1684, which lines up with that swing high. And then we got another number up here. These are potential targets on the upside based on Fibonacci, not any other methodology of ours, just something that everybody has on their trading platform. 1724, 1765. If you'd like to learn more about how to use that tool, if it's of an interest to you, let me know and I'll be happy to do a class or something on it. And
right. We're going to be coming out. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish up, Duane.
I was just going to say, they're on the blog, if you go to our blog and just use the search function for Fibonacci, there's about 5 articles I've written kind of in depth with, you know, a lot of pictures and kind of step-by-step how to use the tools. Again, we don't use it as a standalone trading methodology, but we do like it as a confirmation tool. So go ahead.
And we're going to come out with a little something for traders, a little something they can buy while they're, you know, trading. They can eat it. It's going to be called Fibonacci's. And that will be chips that are have little levels on them.
I thought it was gonna be Fib Newtons.
A Fib Newtons would be good, too. You could have that in a glass of milk or Fibonacci's. all right. This is getting just preposterously ridiculous.
And these will all be sold at the Hard Stop Cafe.
That's right. At the Hard Stop Cafe, you can pick up your Fibonacci's, your Fib Newtons. Oh, gosh. Okay. Let's move on. There's a few other markets. Are you through with the S&P, Dwayne?
We are pulling back here. We're sitting on top of a very important number. So this is kind of make or break. If this should hold. I mean, it could hold. I don't want to say it should. This is an important area. It could hold. If it doesn't, if we trade below 14 and hold that on a pullback, then we're going to look for lower prices, quite frankly.
Okay.
And if we get above 15 and hold that on a pullback, we're going to look for a challenge of the high of the day and then the next zone overhead. And I'll put the zones on the chart tomorrow because it's a short week. So, you want to go to gold?
Okay, let's. I do. We got a few things. Yeah, right here. We're moving on to the August gold market. Gold has already done a great deal of what we had sent out to our institutional group for the market to move up to a level. Hasn't quite completed the number. But this advance, Sunday night, we sent something out. So we're expecting a further advance potentially into next week with higher-priced levels here. Gold has been in a very powerful and directional decline, and this is a – isn't it funny? Here we are on a holiday week, and a person could make the connection because we've seen this so many times that these holiday weeks generally – can, especially if the market had been bearish going into it. These are sort of what the news would call relief rallies, where people just basically are relieved, they feel good about things, they're happy about life or whatever, and you know, they step up and purchase the markets rally. However you want to put it, the markets end up rallying. So this is a very important advance because for us, if the market is able to reach some of these higher levels, I can give you one of them, which is 1267, 1268. Today's high has been about 1262. This was forecast on Sunday for the market to continue to advance into today and further. I mean, actually, there's higher targets that go into next week. So this is going to be very, for us, a usable piece of information because even if you're not in the trade, the market is moving and it is playing out a story. And in a way, once the story ends, a new move then begins and a new story starts. Well, so we're in this story right now with the advance off of these very important lows, and we'll see how the market handles these targets. All of that will give us new information, even if we're not trading it now, that we might be able to put to use. Information such as, were they able to reach their natural level on the upside? That has meaning. Is the market still in a downtrend after having rallied here? Is, you know, any number of things. This information can be put together, and you can put a trade together based upon information. Remember, you're only looking for higher probabilities for you to work with. It has nothing to do with you as a individual person and your story. It's just your ability to detect a higher probability situation. And sometimes it's going to look a whole lot like a really good one, and it just might not turn out to be. Something else is at work. But if you make a practice of looking for the high probability stuff, you'll have runs, and you'll be able to get ahead. And you'll find that the patience that you exhibited by waiting for the high probability setups is paid off, even though some of them may not work. It makes it much, much easier on your head, you know, psychology-wise, to wait for the higher probability stuff and to relax and wait for it. Let the market get around to showing you what you need to see rather than you try to trade everything the market shows you. That's a good way of putting it, is that you really want to see what you need to see rather than you chasing what the market wants to show you. Because the market shows me plenty of things that I'm just not interested in trading, even things that I could potentially say, here's where they're going, but I'm not interested in trading it. Maybe I don't like the risk reward portion of it, as an example, how much I'd have to risk for the potential reward and all that. So anyway, gold is rallying, and they're going to, we think they're going to go higher, and we think it's good And it's part of this whole theme that I talked about this week where we have a number of markets all reverting. And again, look at, here's that question. Wait a minute, gold's up and, well, the S&P is up. Well, how's that? Well, it happens. Here's a good example. Bonds are moved up a little bit, right? Our earlier day, well, they're even on the day today. The S&P is up. How come the bonds aren't down? Well, because sometimes this is how it goes. You know, we had a questioner the other day, and this is a common question about,
right,
you know, the whole idea that markets run counter to each other. They don't always, and that's fine. They sometimes one gets ahead of the other, one gets behind the other, and they can both have the same movement in a day. And this is one of the reasons why I think the theme of the week is going to be bullish, is because the markets are showing this behavior right early on Monday. We had a forecast that we gave out on the 26th of June. This is just an example of what we put out in our institutional work, and this may or may not be something that's interesting because it does require overnight positions. 26th was Wednesday, and that was that if the market, we were expecting the market to close on Wednesday in the bond market, 30-year September U.S. Treasury bond market, to close above 133.27, and that the market would then advance over the next several days and test 136.06 into tomorrow, July 2nd. So that's, you know, you're inching in, that's a $2,000 per contract move, but it would require 4 days potentially to complete it. So that's four overnight margin. You know, you have to have the margin. You have to be able to go to bed, take your sleeping pills, and go to bed, and then wake up refreshed, ready to see what, you know, how the market continues to handle, manage your risk, the whole thing. Anyway, 2 days after we gave that, the market made a swing high of 136.04, just two ticks off that. That would take most people out of the trade, but in the meantime, we still think it's going to go higher into the second, which is tomorrow. And we may, it doesn't have to stop at that number, but how they handle this advance, this is another one, will help us put together our next trade. Because normally, it should be no problem for this market to reach 136.06 into July 2nd. So keep an eye on the bonds for that. Where, you know, for us, I can give the number out because it's already basically, as a trade, we've already reached 04, so that's within two ticks. It doesn't make any difference now. So that, if that's useful to you, I hope it is. Maybe you can put something to use with that. The euro, we're just keeping an eye on. We're not doing anything with the euro. We continue to watch these currencies, big swings of these currencies. I think this is either going to be a very good period for some people and a very bad for others in the currencies. You really have had to have learned to use stops and manage your risk. You know, the people like the Warren Buffetts and the big guys, they don't consider themselves necessarily people that go in. I mean, they think of themselves as risk managers. They're taking on and then managing risk. That's where the skill is. That's the real deal here, is the managing of the risk side. Amateurs don't like to manage risk. Professionals adore it because that's how they make money. Is right. By managing risk. It's just like an insurance company. It'd be like an insurance company saying, we'll insure your car, but you don't have to pay us any premium. We'll just insure it. Well, they're taking on a risk without having managed, you know, by not taking in any money, their risk is essentially endless. Or, you know, they haven't offset it by anything. So they're not running their business very well. They have to charge you some money to take on that risk. Insurance companies are risk managers. I don't know if you've looked around and seen what insurance companies do, but they take your insurance premium and they invest it. Insurance company owns a lot of everything you see is owned by insurance companies. Mm-hmm. They buy huge swaths of land and buildings. When you pay your premium, they're taking that money and looking for a way to take on a high probability, low risk investment that they can make your money go to work for them. And then along the way, some of us are going to have car accidents or a fire at the home, and they're going to have to pay some out. But an insurance company is a great example of somebody who really enjoys learning about and managing risk, because that's exactly what they do. Okay, so moving on to the crude oil market. On a longer-term basis, all all of last week and the week before, we talked about the June 24th daily bottom that was forecast by Reflected Wave to send prices higher. Forecast with our group was that it would go up to 98.15. The low they made on the 24th was 92.67. So they had, you know, a 5-point move. That's a big move up, and they completed that today. The 98.15 level, that today's high was 98.28, and in doing so, completed for all intents and purposes the whole trade. They may go higher. Anybody that would continue to hold this is holding with a little more risk now, because the market would tend to react off of a level like this. Longer term, as you know, I've said this many times, we're bullish in the summer months here on crude oil. That means higher crude oil prices and then higher prices at the pump as well. Let's see. So we'll keep an eye on that over the summertime here. I don't want the prices to go higher, but that's what the indications are people to have to go.
What month are? Well, I'll just use the continuous.
The continuous is fine.
At GCL. All right. Now, what's the all-time high on crude? Is it like 140?
Well, let's see. Let me go to a long-term chart here and let's take a look. Yes, it's very close to that, if not exactly right. It was actually, it's showing here 147.27.
Okay.
That's the all-time high on crude oil. It's interesting that there is some irony here that the crude oil market has remained, and somebody many, many years ago, somebody that I was that I had some business association with said, this is, I'm telling you, this was probably back in 02. He told me, he says, because the market had started to rally, he said, it's going to go for decades on the upside. He says, this is not going to be a short-term, you know, spike up and then down. Well, it did spike up to 147, which is just an absolutely unbelievable price for crude. And then in the same month that it, or excuse me, the same year that it made the 147 high, it also made a low of $32.48. Could you imagine that? It had more than a $100 swing in that year. And what year was that? 08. Now, from that bottom, we've now had a 3-year advance and we're in some sideways motion here. Crude oil is very comfortable up at these levels. And one of the ironies is that the high price of crude, and therefore the high price of gasoline, is going to push more and more people into buying more fuel-efficient cars and thereby removing the very underpinnings of the market itself, that people are no longer buying either as much gasoline, or maybe you go the route that I went, which is you can drive around with no gasoline if you're living in a city that, you know, you don't drive more than about 100, 110 miles a day. Most of us don't. And so the very underpinnings of the market are going to be taken away by the market moving higher and forcing people to say. And these people, again, that own trucks and big things where they're filling up, you know, it's a 22-gallon tank or it's an 18-gallon tank and it's, you know, it's $4.70 times, you know, 20. That's $94 that they just put in their tank, and they're going to chew through that pretty quickly at 11, 12 miles per gallon. Your mileage may vary. I don't know if there's any truer statement ever made. You know, when you read the EPA sticker, your mileage may vary, because it really does. And I know several people with trucks, and they, you know, those things just chew through gasoline. Fortunately, there are some alternative trucks coming out too soon. That's going to be another hot market, and the truck market will. So you guys are not going to be left in the dust. You will have your alternative truck vehicles that are either hybrid or a Volt-type powertrain where it uses battery then switches over to a generator, and you'll get dramatically improved mileage. Those are a year or so out or less, but there's a company called Via Motors that is coming out with some, and Bob Lutz, who's a man that worked for GM and who was the driving force behind the Volt, Chevy Volt, he's the man behind that company. And he's doing it for trucks. So it should be interesting to see what he's able to do with all that. Okay, so we'll move on past the crude oil market. Let's see. Tesla. Let's take a quick look at this. We had talked about the June 24th date. This is a good example of somebody managing a trade and then potentially holding for the final exit. We had talked about June 24th being a bottom to sell put premium in Tesla, and they had a nice multi-day advance, and we instructed everyone to get out of their position. They went from a low of 95 up to a high of 110. We probably got out around 107 was where we told people that, hey, you know, you got the goodness out of the deal. You had a nice move. And only the people that were holding for the aggressive exit, you know, just a little bit holdings on. Look what Tesla did today. They're up another $7. That's sometimes they don't do that, and you're just going to have to manage the remainder of your position, which means get out at a lesser good price. But in this particular case, they ran them pretty good. I am expecting a top in this market, Tesla, on July 3rd. Because of the weekend or the holiday and all that stuff, I'm not sure that I would trade that top, but they're rallying into it pretty nicely here. So we'll continue to watch how they finish up.
And we've got a little double top here. So this is an important area. This 115.
Yep.
If it can break through that, I don't know. Do you have any specific price projections on the upside?
No, we don't. We haven't done any work on Tesla. We just finished this trade. That was the run up was our trade, and I think our next will do something in reports. And if I can, I will give it out. I haven't done anything with it yet to do that work.
Ooh, look here.
You know, so. What's
look
that?
At this, Dave. Zynga. This thing popped up $1 today.
Wow.
That's big news for a $3 stock.
That's huge. That's real
let's
big.
See, it opened.
See, everything's rallying. They're all happy.
Yeah. It opened at 277, high 314, low 276, last 308. Okay. I'm sorry. I was reading my chart wrong. I thought it said 388. It says 308. So, sorry, guys.
Still a pretty good move.
Still a nice day. It's still up, pretty 10% mm-hmm. on the day. So, mm-hmm. not as dramatic as I thought. And again, now we've gone. Remember, we were hitting this 200-day moving average on the daily chart. We had trouble getting through that. And on this day, today, we blew right through that 200. And now we're reacting off of this 50-period moving average. And these are two very common indicators that traders, funds, institutions look at on daily charts, the 50 and the 200. It's just kind of like factory-installed indicators on a chart. And you'll see price react very, you know, interestingly. Like down here, you hit them and you bounce. And you hit them and you bounce. And you hit it and you bounce. And so anyway, if it can get above 50 now, the 50 is above the 200, and so if price can get above the 50 and hold it on a pullback, that is considered to be very bullish, although that happened here and price still. So, and I don't understand why the stock's not doing better. If there's some fundamental news I'm not aware of, perhaps that's it. And maybe it's because the day traders, this could be part of it. The fact that it has become a plaything amongst the day traders, and I'm talking about the high-volume day traders, because this thing's going to trade, 31. It's traded 31.5 million shares so far today. That's a lot of – I mean, at $3 a share, that's $90 million. Okay? So the fact that you've got day traders maybe running it up, running it down, exiting at the end of the day, that may be hampering its ability to really get moving for the long haul, bigger picture. So I'm just going to continue to say I like it as a long-term investment until I find some reason not to think that anymore.
Okay.
Let's see. What else? Oh, hey. Away from the market for just a second. Have you loaded the Vine app onto your iPhone 5 yet?
Not yet. What is that?
Are you familiar? Okay.
No.
It's a new app that they came out with. It's very, very popular. So popular that Instagram has now added video to their... Instagram is a company that was bought by Mark Zuckerberg for $1 billion. And all it is a camera, which was already on the phone, connected to basically a Twitter feed that allows you to share your pictures. The only thing different about it was they used some math to create some nice little filters that you could overlay on your picture to make it have like a retro look or a 50s look or, you know, you've seen these filters mm-hmm. that you can put on
sure.
digital images. And they just package it all up in one nice little bundle. The company, I think, at the time of the buyout, they had 10 or 11 employees. Mark paid $1 billion for the company. And then Vine came along. And what Vine is, Vine's a little app, very clever the way it works. It took me a couple hours to figure it out. Some would look at some of my work and say, well, dude, you're still figuring it out. But you open the app, you hit the little button that says you want to make a Vine, and it's like a video camera. Your phone's now, you know, in video camera mode, and you put your mm-hmm. thumb on the screen, and it starts recording. And the second you lift your thumb off the screen, it stops. And it just holds it right there. You then apply your thumb again, and it starts recording, and you take your thumb off, and it stops. You have 6 seconds to work with, okay? That's it. Mm-hmm. Now, it's called Vine because the video, the 6-second video that you create loops, and people are doing some very interesting and artistic stuff with this app. And I didn't really understand it, and I watched a few. I loaded the app, and I watched some of the editors' picks, people around the world that have submitted theirs, and the editors liked them, and they were so catchy, and they kind of get in your head. If any of you guys who have Vine, the editor's pick over most of the weekend, the number one pick was that guy, Nicholas. My name is Nicholas, and I'm so ridiculous, and I got gummy bear money, and it won't play on the desktop, or maybe I just haven't figured out how to make it play on the desktop. But, David, it's a free app, so go ahead and just download it and just watch the editor's okay. picks for the day. You'll get such a mm-hmm. kick out of it. And my wife, she goes, I don't get it. I go, well, honey, it's like it's cool. And she's like, I don't think it's that cool. I go, well, people all over the world are really, you know. And she goes, yeah, well, whatever. Now, Instagram, when they came out with their version, they chose 15 seconds. And So what happens is, like, you can be at the beach, and so you put your thumb on there, and it takes, you know, a little video of whatever you're looking at the beach. Mm-hmm. And then once you get back into the car, you turn around to your buddy and you put your thumb on the screen, and he says something weird, and then you take your thumb off. And then when you get out of the car and go into the convenience store, this is just all examples, and you walk up to the clerk, you touch the screen again, and the final 2 seconds are your interaction with the clerk. But the way it blends them all together and then creates this loop that just goes over and over and over, it is either the most annoying thing on planet Earth or one of the most intriguing little time killers. So, guys, if you haven't downloaded Vine, go get it. It's absolutely free. And today I'm going to download the Instagram. I have an Instagram account, which is free, but I haven't downloaded the app because they're trying to outdo Vine, because Vine came in and just stole, you know, a ton of their traffic flow. And since Instagram last week or the week before rolled out their Vine competitor by adding video, the traffic to Vine has dropped by like half. So anyway, have fun with it, guys. It's again, it's a time sink, but it's a fun time sink. So.
Okay, well, I only have a couple last little
all right
quickies here. Last night on Sunday, sent out for copper for people to consider buying copper at or near $303 for an advance up to $312 or higher. And you can see today on this was in July copper, so it wasn't. I mean, this month is that's contract almost gone. This is an example of a trade that the institutional people are taking advantage of. We made a low of 303.20, and today they rallied up and they made a high of 316.10. So we certainly have completed the 312. And anybody in this, we're still going to hold for somewhat higher prices here. And again, this is another example of a market that's happy. They're just happy. They've been going down, 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 and suddenly the week of 4th of July, everything's rallying. Everyone's just happy. So don't worry. Be happy.
Be happy.
And that is
a question.
Go ahead.
A question in the chat room. What does Zynga do? They are in online gaming. They were the folks who brought Farmville to your life. You probably know someone who has the Farmville sickness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to call it.
Good as
anything. You know, it's some people really enjoy it, and as long as you don't like spend 12 hours a day playing it, it's probably harmless. But some people have kind of been overwhelmed by it. And they're now also involved in online gambling in the UK. It's a test market for them, and they've already filled out the paperwork to take advantage of the new laws in Nevada that allow for legal online gambling onshore in the U.S. This is a first, and so that's why I think they're just poised for exponential growth. We'll
mm-hmm.
see what happens.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, Dwayne, I think that's everything in my cookie jar today. We'll see how the remainder of the day goes, but I think the theme is up with the usual pullbacks, but we've had a number of markets, very nice reversals. I think the S&P is also going to remain in that position as well. And I think that's everything. We'll save the rest for tomorrow. Looking forward to how the week plays out. Holiday weeks are very important part of your trading. They come back every year. There's usually good opportunities, and several markets, many markets have had nice moves, directional moves just today because of this, and we were able to take advantage of some of them, and that's part of the thing, you know, the holiday trading schedule, where the July 4th lands and what you can do and all that stuff. So we'll put it all together. I'll plan on being back tomorrow with you, and we'll see what we can do. You're looking for something good to show us here, I know.
Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't previewed any of these, so I can't promise you. If it's naughty, I'll turn it off. I don't even know if you can see it good.
Mm-hmm.
Super boring. This is how our road trip to California looked like. Super boring. This is how our road trip through California looked like. Super boring.
Okay, none of those are very good guys, and so that's not a that's. Go download the app. It's free. And there's the sound booth. So let's change that. Back to me. All right, David, you're taking off. Well, we're going to miss you.
That's all I have for today. Some days you have more, some days you have less. But stay out of the heat, and you especially out there, you guys are going to have a decently hot day in Arizona today. I don't know what it is here, but it's
Well, we're supposed to have a cooling trend. It's supposed to get down, I think, to like 105, 107.
It is 105 here right now, so that's actually downright comfortable.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. Yeah. Last night, though, I'm concerned, man. That wind blew up, and it was our little dog pen outside, our dog run that we have. It blew down the fence and the little shade cover that we have for him. It totally ripped that off.
Uh-huh.
And it's only July 1st.
I mean,
that's not supposed to be happening yet.
Well, you know, this heat wasn't supposed to be happening this early either, I guess. But here we are. We've had some good days here in Las Vegas.
So nobody ever answered the question, what are they going to do with their 4th of July holiday?
I was just curious how people – I mean, certainly I can guess, but I was just curious.
And questions, are options reflected in that volume on Zynga? Actually, Pete, that particular volume figure, that would be just shares traded. You would have to go to the options chart to see the volume on the options. A question from Ed. David, do you expect volatility during the holiday week?
What do I expect volatility? We did expect several markets, gold, copper, the S&P, to have decent moves. So on a certain level, I can answer yes, we do expect, but I do expect it to be roughly directional volatility, pullbacks and directional moves, kind of a happy themed week. S&P is pulling back now, but no big deal. We'll see how they play it out. But I think my biggest forecast for the week in a number of markets, not all markets, but in a number of them, the ones we've talked about, is that I think they're trading well and they're probably going to end up doing well on the week. I think in the end, we'll see good. Now, if we see something different or if we buy the market, like as an example, we may be buying the S&P here in just a little bit during this pullback. If we do that and they show us something else, well, fair enough. Then, we'll step aside and we will wait and see if there's something else going on with the market. But I am expecting directional moves in a number of these markets. They've started out that way this week, and we're going to try to manage the position. So I don't, that's my best answer to your question. It seems like there's a better answer, but that's what it is. We came in looking for a certain number of markets to have straight line moves. They have, and we consider that those moves are likely going to continue in that direction with the usual pullbacks.
A more generalized question for you, David, are there markets that do not perform using reflected wave like the pound as an example, or is it roadmaps that you do not find helpful on the pound?
Well, I'm actually, when it comes to the pound, I'm actually looking at it and not certain that a certain key feature that I need in order to do roadmaps, that I have that feature solidly identified for the British pound. And, I'm just continuing to watch it. I'm not struggling with it, but I have also not convinced myself, it's not to my satisfaction, that I have what I need to do the kinds of forecasts for that roadmaps give out. So that's the reason why you haven't heard us talk much about the British pound. I'm not sure what the difference is, why it is harder for me to work it, but I don't. If I knew that answer, I suppose I'd maybe closer to the to getting it. But as it stands right now, it really refers more to the roadmap type of setups than it does anything else. And in answer to your question about reflected wave, there are some markets that I'm not crazy about reflected wave in, or some stocks as an example, but the vast majority of them, it's very usable, especially the ones that we all talk about here on the radio program. We're always, think of all the markets, the peso, the dollar, the euro.
We haven't talked about the peso. You got me all worked up about the peso.
Yeah.
The other day, and now we haven't looked at it in a while. Anything going on there?
Well, nothing for us. Just they had a big breakdown. They broke through some very important levels, had a big move down. They've recovered very quickly. Very, very volatile movement in the peso, and potentially some really nice trades. But we're new to the peso, and we're really just continuing to watch it, and we'll put a trade together as we see some of those moments come up where kind of everything kind of comes together. Again, you have to relax in order to see that. It's the funniest thing that if you're anxious, you've already put on a pair of sunglasses that could block you from seeing the very thing that you're anxious over seeing.
Yeah.
It's like your very own action, it blocks you from seeing it. You have to stay just relaxed, not really concerned. You have a bigger picture in mind. You're not getting too focused on it, and you're waiting for the stuff that you would make you respond to say, hey, I think I'm starting to see something here. If you're anxious about it, it can actually blind you from seeing that setup, and then before you know it, you're in and out of a bunch of trades, and half of them work, half of them don't, or worse. That's the funny thing. I've seen this. I know this for a fact, and I know many other traders may have as well. You can get yourself in such a state in trading when you're not relaxed, when you're not just breathing normally and waiting for your setup. You can get yourself into a state where you actually do worse than what a random gambler would do. In other words, any guy off the street without anything, just buying and selling, would do better than some of us who are really tied up in this and really tied up in a knot in a pretzel over trying to find the right trade and so on. If you can, if you're doing worse than a guy off the street would just randomly gambling in the market, then you should question yourself about that, how you're getting into that state to do that, because there's no way you should be doing worse than the guy off the street. The guy off the street should be doing worse than you or me because he doesn't know. He may get lucky for a little period of time, but generally speaking, we're all looking for high probabilities. I'm just reminding people to stay relaxed and let it come to you. And if it's not coming to you in that market, continue to look at other markets and something will line up for you and you'll be able to do something good in that market. So keep that in mind, because I see this all the time. And I've seen it myself for many, many years. And, you know, you can never say, never say never, but it doesn't happen to me anywhere with any kind of frequency like it used to many, many years ago. So keep that in mind. I think it's very useful to remember to relax and breathe and not let the market trick you into – it sort of almost sets you up. Not that it's fooling you, but it sets you up to fool yourself, to catch your – you know, it's like when your game isn't on and you're trying to meet somebody or introduce yourself and you're just out of sync. It's that out of syncness that really makes it not work. And then there's other times you've noticed where you're just right in it and you think, boy, I can talk to anybody, I can do anything, I can – well, that's how you kind of – you can get that kind of goodness just by relaxing with the markets and letting the stuff come to you. So don't play their game. Play the game you understand. When you stand at the ping pong table and the guy wants you to play his game, you play your game. And that now you're really doing something. But if you play his game, then you're just running around chasing his ball. And you don't want the market to do that to you. It has a very, it just does what it does, but our mentality and our thinking, we get caught up in it, and before you know it, you're chasing things and all that stuff. That's not what it's all about. It's all about high probability setups and your ability to identify them, trade them, and manage the risk. That's what it's all about. Remember the song, What's It All About, Alfie?
What's on? No, I don't think I do, dude.
Oh, I can't believe you don't know that song.
Tell me how does it go?
What's it all about, Alfie? You never heard that?
Who did that?
I don't know.
Well, I'll have to check into that. I wanted to mention this at the beginning of the show when everybody was still here, but I'll still mention it now. If you Google E-mini dictionary, Where's it at? Oh, I don't see it off the top of my head. But anyway, go to the blog, and on the blog, online dictionary for E-mini futures, terminology, slang, definitions. We are starting a online reference book / dictionary for E-mini futures trading, and it is user edited. It is a work in progress because, like any good dictionary, it will continue to grow. Even Webster, the one we grew up with, adds new words every year. Not only are new words added, but new definitions are added to existing words like underwater. In 2012, Webster added another definition to the term underwater, and obviously it had to do with owing more money for something than it's actually worth. Other words that were added in 2012, Copernicum, man cave, gastropub, systemic risk, cloud computing, sexting, earworm. You know what an earworm is, David?
Do you know what that is? No. It sounds vaguely familiar.
It's when you get a song in your head and you can't get it out.
Oh, okay.
That can be frustrating, especially when you're trying to go to sleep. Mashup, bucket list, energy drink, and game changer. So these are all additions made to Webster in 2012. But what we're doing is I've just started this, okay? I'm only up to the letter B. I want you guys to pitch in, help out. If you want, I'm going to put your name and the date you added it to the dictionary. This little blog post will eventually have its own web page, and as we near completion, it's going to move to its own website. But so far in the letter A, all I've got is algorithm, alpha, analyst, ask. And under B, so far I've got backwardation, bear, beta. I think the next one is going to be bull. Now, right down here where it says post a comment, okay, if you click that, you can add whatever word. Now, I need the word and the definition, okay? And if you want it to be anonymous, just put anonymous. Otherwise, I'll just use your name and the date, and it will become a reference. Because when people come into e-mini futures trading or becoming a trader in general, every industry has its own slang, its own terminology. And so these don't have to be proper words. It can be, like some slang terms that every trader understands, but someone new to the world of trading would not understand. So feel free to participate, and over time I'll work my way all the way up to the letter Z. But it's a community project. Just go to the blog. It's the most recent post. And for anyone that's new, you just click E-mini Radio Blog, view recent posts, and there you are. Okay? Just make your submissions. Submit as often as you will. Frank, you should have a blast with that, because you're really good at that kind of thing. Yes, there are a number of financial glossaries on the internet. I just thought it would be cool for us to create our own. Okay. Anytime, just like contract specifications, we have a page on our website that has all of the contract specifications for the futures contracts. Not that it can't be found elsewhere on the internet. We just like to gather as much content as we can, usable content, and curated is the proper term. We like to curate good content on our site. So, and you guys that were writing for the opinion blog, I haven't heard anything from you in months, so I want to encourage you to write. And for those of you that are maybe new, we have an opportunity for you to blog your thoughts, hopes, dreams, aspirations, aggravations, thoughts on life, your stock market ideas, picks, projections. Send them to me. I'll edit them, and I'll create you your very own blog right here on CFRN. And David, you know what I want to know?
Tell me.
More than anything else, I want to know what the heck that person is doing in line up ahead of me.
Who is that?
I don't know who they are. And you're going to go, well, what line are you referring to?
What line are you referring to? Sorry.
Every line. Because every line I get in, I don't care if it's a grocery store or the bank. If it's the bank, I've got Howard Hughes up there.
Right.
Doesn't matter that he's got bread bags for shoes. He's doing complicated financial transactions. At the grocery store, it's some other me and my son were in line yesterday at the grocery store, and he's like, Dad, what's going on here? I said, Son, this is a crazy little thing called life,
Uh-huh.
I remember in the military and the Navy, oh boy, the military, they love to make you stand in lines, hurry up and wait. And I remember swearing one day in a line, all hungover, mad, when I get out of here, I'll never stand in another line as long as I live, I think I kicked the wall or something, broke a toe. Well, here I am standing in lines, so. I don't know. It's just one of those perplexing things. Like, why is traffic so slow? Well, at least when I get up here finally, I'll be able to see what the heck was going on and why everything's slow. There's nothing there.
There's nothing there. You get there and there's nothing there. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, could write a whole thing about that. That's funny. All right. Well, listen, we'll see you guys here tomorrow. Should be interesting. Watch S&P at this level here. And, Dwayne, I'll see you.
You got a minute for a question from Ed?
Sure.
David, last week you expected the Aussie to move up to the 92 level into the second. is this one day early, and do you expect continuation or a possible short?
Well, let me take a look at that again.
I'll
mention
bring it up
something
as well
about it. Let me just find where I have
6A.
That. We did have something on the Aussie last week. I'm surprised I mentioned that one on the radio, actually. Let me just get over there real quick.
I think you were just saying that – I think you said you weren't doing anything, but that the big guys
– yeah.
What's his name was on top of it.
Okay, we were looking – yeah, the Soros.
Soros, yeah.
Okay, so we had avoided this market, and we were expecting an advance up to 92 – at or near 92.10 into July 2nd. And the market did reverse and did go up. Today's high is 92.03. And I would be interested in doing something with this potentially tomorrow, and we will talk about it. Thank you for reminding me. I forgot that I had mentioned that on radio here. But that's one of the setups that we have for a possible short position.
Okay.
So, all righty. So, Duane, I'll let you guys go. Thanks for the questions today, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Keith just sent me a link to a YouTube video. What's it all about, Alfie?
Stay with me. Okay, yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and Burt Bacharach wrote it, and Dionne Warwick sang it, or at least one version of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there you are.
I'm going to let
you go.
That's it.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Have a great afternoon. This time I remember to hit the proper button. Let's play that outro. All right, guys, that's going to just about wrap it up for us here. Now, let's take a look at where we're at on this S&P 500E Mini Futures. Recap, I sent out a tweet last night. I said, guys, I plan to tweet the Globex open. I did send out a tweet about an hour after it opened because there was nothing imminent. And it took us 6 hours to finally trigger. It triggered right here at 1604, ran up to 1609. Once it got to 1609.75, I sent out a tweet that said, hey, we just hit 1609.75. That's a 5.75-point gain. I want to suggest that you take some or all profit here at 1609. If you choose to stay in, trail with a very tight stop. Okay? And as you can see, if you chose to stay in, you did get taken out in pretty short order. Now, I also said, it looks like we're heading back, because we had already started, after I sat here and watched it a bit, you know, this little red candle started to paint when we got a new hour. I said, it looks like we're going to try to go back and test the important area at 1604. And you know how we feel about that. So use your slingshot to see if you can find yourself a long entry to trade the pullback up to 1609 again. Well, it came back to 1604 and it went back to 1609. On this pullback, it couldn't get below 1605.25. That was the swing low of these two candles. Last week, 1605 was a very important area for us. Gave us these three long trades. It gave us some short trades. Tomorrow I'll put all the different trades up there. But it's all on the Twitter feed, twitter.com/CFRN. You can go back and look at all of our tweets for the last couple years. And I actually have it because I own that account. They've allowed me to download a PDF of every tweet that I've made since I opened the account. If you have an interest in that, and I don't know why you would, but if you do, if you would like, because it's kind of hard to search it online, but if you wanted to, like, pull it into a spreadsheet and sort of come up, because people are always asking me, have you, like, done, what do they call that, you know what I'm talking about? And my answer is no. I just trade it live every day and post these things live, and so I just take it on a case-by-case basis. I've not taken the time to create a history, if you will. So anybody that wants to do that, you're welcome. I've got the data. I just don't have the time, but if somebody has the time and wants to do it, I think that'd be excellent. Okay. Okay. Right now we're pulling back. Somebody had just asked in the chat room, ES, any good intraday buy price pullbacks? Now the person that asked that already left. But I'll answer it anyway, because that's where I was headed. From this swing low to this swing high, we've approached a 38% retracement here. But that's not our methodology. That's just something we look at. What I would like to see to get into a trade here, I would like to see a pullback into the 1609 area. Okay, again, last night we went from 04 to 0975. I suggested getting out at 09. That's a 5-point gain. I said then watch for the retracement, and if the opportunity presents, you can, I'm going to bed, but you can get long again back to 1609. And that just worked out beautifully. I was in bed when this move happened here. And the swing high on that was actually 1609 and a half. So you had no trouble getting filled if you were going back to 1609 again. And then on this move up, we haven't gotten to the weekly zone overhead. We did pass through a zone on the way up, and tomorrow I'll just be showing you all of that. I'll show you these zones that we're in right now. I'll show them all to you tomorrow. If you'd like to know and you haven't taken a free trial in the last 6 months, take a free trial. I'll send them to you today. No credit card required. CFRN.net/apply. That'll give you 5 days in the trading room. We won't count Thursday against you because it's a holiday. I'll give you the trading zones for the week, and you can hang out and ask questions, and if you need some private tutoring and mentoring and some one-on-one sessions, we'll do that, okay? You just got to let us know. So take the free trial, CFRN.net/apply. As some of you who are going to have time off Thursday and Friday, perhaps, because of the holiday, might be a great day for you to come into the live trading room on Friday. If it's been more than 6 months since you took your free trial and you'd like another chance, email me support@cfrn.net and, you know, tell me what happened. You know, I know life happens. You could just be honest and go, you know, I wasn't that taken with what you're doing. But I've been looking around these last 6 months and I haven't found anything else that, you know, mulled me over. So I'd like to look at what you've got again, because I am seriously looking for a way to learn how to trade for a living. And guys, that's what we offer. Okay. Our goal is to teach you how to trade for a living. Okay. We can teach you how to play baseball. We can't make you a baseball player. We can teach you to the best of our ability everything we know about trading e-mini futures during the 90 days of the initial training as a partner. What you end up doing with that information, I'm not going to guarantee you success, because that would be wrong, because I can't do that. Not just because it's a law that you're not supposed to, you know, but because morally it would be wrong for me to promise you that you're going to be able to accomplish something that the majority of the ingredients you have to bring to the table. The focus, the discipline, the intestinal fortitude, the stick-to-itiveness, all those things I mentioned earlier in the show today, you can't buy those things anywhere. They're not for sale. You can't buy them. You can't rent them. You can't even steal them. They have to come from within. And if you recognize, and you know what? I'm going to tell you this. If you have those things, you can trade any methodology. I got to catch this call. Just stay put. I'm going to be right back, okay? Because I've been waiting on this call all day. I'm just going to put you on pause. Hang on. Okay, my apologies. I thought that was the important call I was waiting on. It was a telemarketer with a very bad connection who wanted to sell me some health insurance. So I was very polite, and I said no. Okay, I forget where I was now. All right, we ran up here. We've got a tweet to consider being long above 21, but here's the thing. If we're going to take out 21, we've got to get from here to there. Okay? I'd really like to see 1609 tested because this was a great area, right? Now, I may or may not get what I want in regards to the test of 1609. If I've already made my points for the day, I don't even need to be concerned about this, and I probably shouldn't even be looking at it, right? Okay? But let's go take a look at our four tick range, and let's see what that looks like right now, okay? So let's go to the four tick range chart on the S&P. We can certainly see here we're in a bit of a downtrend. Now, I want you to just look at the, just pretend there's nothing on this chart but the VBC and the MA1. Let's go with that. Bearish cross, pull back to the VBC, and a move down from... Let's see, this candle opened. Well, let's go with this one. This one closed. This candle closed at 1618, and the swing low was 1616 and a quarter. Okay? So from 1618 to 1616 and a quarter, just shy of 2 points, 1 3/4. And then we pull back to the BBC. The swing high on this candle is 1617.50. So if you sold the open of the next candle, that swing low was 1612.50. And I'm going to have to put you guys on hold again here in a minute because the important call that I was expecting is going to come in. You know what I'll do? I'll put some pre-recorded programming on. And then I'll pop back in. This call will only take me about 5 minutes, okay? So when that call comes, I'm going to put you on hold, give you something to listen to, and then I'll be right back. All right, so we drop. This is a nice one here, okay? If you just got in at the pullback up here, the high 16, or the close 16, 17 and a half. From 17 and a half, we drop down to 12 and a half. So that's a 5-point move. Then we pull back again. Okay. Now the close of that candle is 1614.75. Okay. There's my call. Okay. So I'm going to put you on hold.
A lot done and make a lot of difference for the kingdom, and you need to be learn to be faithful as a servant, so that and I think in due time God will elevate you to the right position. You may not have the preaching opportunities, right? The senior pastor probably preaches most of the time, but again, you can do a lot behind the scenes. You can do a lot of bad too behind the scenes too, but you know, you want to obviously build up the church and not build up yourself or your resume or those kinds of things. You can manage upward, all right? You can, I know for my senior pastor, for instance, he wasn't really good at like management type of thing. And so, you know, he didn't know what an agenda was, for instance. You know, he didn't even think about having staff meetings. You know, if you want to talk to me, he'll just walk across the hall and talk to me about whatever. All right. But, you know, I suggested to him, I said, you know, it might be good that we have a regular staff meeting. You know, it might be a good idea for us to, and the staff to meet together every week and to pray together. And I said, you know, you want me to set it up and that kind of thing? Oh, okay, good. You know, because he thought it was a good idea, but he didn't want to be bothered with the detail. And then said, yeah, maybe we need an agenda. Maybe we need to take some notes, you know, all those kinds of things. And you're not telling him what to do. You're suggesting things to him, but you're also making it easy for him to say yes to those situations as well. So there's a lot of things that you could do to kind of steer your senior pastor. You know, just like a wise wife will tell her husband how to do certain things without telling him, you know, bossing him around, right? But in nice ways, you know, she can kind of move her husband in different ways. And so I think that's a good thing to be, to learn how to lead and manage upward. Number four, support your senior pastor. You need to have the mentality of, I am successful if my senior pastor is successful. All right? I am successful if my senior pastor is successful. And so the scripture that you see here, Proverbs 27:18, he who looks after his master will be honored. Okay? So if we are looking after our senior pastor and helping him and supporting him, God will honor us. And as a senior pastor gets one of the things that I learned after I became senior pastor is there are lots of decisions to make, you know, and I have a lot of responsibility. And I didn't realize it, but because I think as an assistant, I thought, oh, senior pastor is so easy, you know, I could do this, you know, and, you know, he should do this, he should do that, you know, I'm thinking in my mind about all the things that he should be doing, right? Then I became senior pastor, and then I realized, oh, now I understand why he's so cautious, you know, because so much responsibility, you know, because I was, oh, just easy, just do this, do that, you know, but if you have the weight of responsibility, you think it over a lot more, you know, and then you have a bigger picture of what the church is all about and that type of thing. And so I think it's very important to recognize that he is under a lot of stress. He is a lot. Another thing is criticism. If you're the top person, you know, you get a lot of criticism. Okay. We are in our church. We just are ending a fundraising campaign, you know, in the midst of recession. Can you believe it? And thank God we actually raised $8 million, you know, as announced last week. But, there was a lot of blood and sweat and tears to get to that point. And part of it was a lot of criticism, you know, and, I probably would say I never received as much criticism in my previous 30 years plus years as I did in this past 2 years, okay? Because I was the point person for this expansion, and I was the lightning rod for all the unhappiness that anybody felt about the church and all kinds of different things about how, you know, we can't do this, we're not healthy, we got to take care of this first, we got to take care of that first, all these different things. And so if you understand that, you want to really support your senior pastor. You don't want to say anything negative about your senior pastor in public, okay, or to anyone else, a third party, basically. If you have something negative, speak to him directly, privately, all right? If you get something that you don't agree with, you don't think is right, that your senior pastor is doing, have a private meeting with him and be upfront and talk to him about it. But you don't go around telling other people and, you know, all the deacons and the elders and, you know, he's doing this wrong and all those kinds of things and basically raising a lot of problems. That would be wrong, okay? You need to respect his authority. And, you know, because if you start talking behind his back, that's basically insubordination, all right? And so you want to avoid that like the plague. That will destroy your relationship with your senior pastor. So if you got some beef or something you don't agree with about your senior pastor, talk to him privately, appeal to him respectfully, and live with whatever the decision is, okay? And don't go the political route and talking to other people and spreading gossip and rumors and all those kinds of things. Sometimes you may even have to take the hits for him, All right. I mean, there's again, I was talking to somebody recently about my our expansion. They said, yeah, you know, we did an expansion. It was so much criticism. But, you know, some of our leaders and staff people, they took the bullets for me. You know, they protected me. OK. And so sometimes you may have to do that, you know, to protect your senior pastor. You want to amplify his vision. All right, support his vision. Hopefully you know what his vision is and you want to amplify it. You want to support his vision. Not just, oh yeah, we agree with it. But, you know, you're enthusiastically supporting his vision. And you need to not complain or grumble, whether verbally or with nonverbal type, you know, looks, you know, that we might have, right? Because sometimes we just have these smirks on our face and staff meetings and that kind of a thing. That says a lot too. So speak well of your senior pastor. I think, this second scripture, 1 Samuel 18, 7 to 9.
All right, that pre-recorded programming didn't work out so good because I forgot to click one of the buttons. Sorry about that. That one button. You know, because it gets hidden by one of the other screens, I'm going to have to... Oh, well, that's my problem, not yours. Anyway, sorry for the delay. And maybe you prefer to sit in silence anyway. Whenever I call GoDaddy, they have some obnoxious on hold music sometimes, but they give you an option. It says if you don't want to listen to music for the next 20 minutes, hit the pound key now. Boy, sometimes you miss that pound key by a second, and then you just get tortured. All right, let me look at the chat box. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for the kind words. I found a guy, and I think as far as I know, that's going through okay. So. Okay. All right, let's go back over here. And what were we doing? We were looking at the hourly chart. We were going to see if there was a way we could get long on this trade back up to the high. But we didn't get all the way back. So that tells us we still got some bullish tempo in the market. Now, if we draw a fib off just this last, you know, leg up, we actually did hit a 50% retracement there. I was drawing it from the complete move here. Okay. And what I was looking for off of the complete move is I was looking for 38, which we came really close to. Okay. All right. Let's go look back again. The 4-tick range. All right. Bullish divergence, bullish cross, price has pulled away. Let's see if price is going to pull back. Okay, now let me explain. Right here, bullish cross. See, all the way down, I was showing you all these pullbacks, okay? Now, see this big swing? And see how this swing got a little bit shorter than how this was a little tiny swing? Hey, this is momentum in the down move waning, all right? And this is something that you learn to watch for, okay? Big swing, smaller swing, a little bitty swing. So you already know, hey, I think this thing's about to head the other way, or at least attempt to head in the other direction. So right here, okay, let me blow it up a little bit. Right here, the ball changed hands. Okay. The Bears did a great job of running it down the field. Did they not? Over here. One move, another move. They ran that baby down the field. Okay. Now the Bulls have the ball, and because the Bulls are basketball, now they're going to try to run it up the court. See, the Bears take it down the field, and the Bulls run it up the court. Now, I'm not crazy about this divergence situation up here. I need the green line to be down at the bottom. But here's what's going to happen. If price is going to pull back to the BBC, this green line is going to come down, and it is going to give me, see, watch it. Watch this candle and watch this, and if this pulls back to the BBC, which is what I want it to do in order for me to take a trade, this green line is going to be down here. And as it hooks up and heads north to come meet the cycle line, that will give us our trade. Now, let's take a look at, let's say the entry comes here. We get the pullback at 13. Let's say we get it at 13. Okay. If we need an up close, then that's going to put us at like 16.14. And for 2 points room to run, we're going to have to take out this swing high. But that's okay. Remember we talked the other day about you can wait for setups where you don't have any obstacles in your way for at least a couple points. Now, this trade will definitely have an obstacle in the way prior to hitting 2 points. Doesn't mean you can't take the trade. Just means that it's got something working against it. It's not as high a probability. So you can wait for the highest possible probability. You can say, I'm only going to take those trades because I kind of enjoy trading and I'm going to be here in front of my computer anyway. So I'm going to wait. And that's just something that you decide as you write your business plan and your trading plan. Okay, let me read some of these questions. Would you take a shot at short at 50%? No, I don't want to short this because our setup is for a long trade. Okay? We had a bullish cross, so I'm only interested in being long here. I don't know if that answers your question. It does, okay. Would you like to be long above the swing going into the close? Well, it looks like, guys, this is going to be a runaway that we're not going to participate in. Anybody who uses the word shot should consider that terminology. Okay, I follow you there. Oh, this one's going to leave us behind, guys. Potentially. It's just got to be patient. Remember, we have right now, we're at 16.15. The swing high is way up here at 16.20. 20 and a quarter, that's the swing high. So there's 5 points room to run. Now, if you wanted to trade it off just the hourly chart, you could have drawn this little trend line here. Okay. You could have bought the open of the next candle. You could have. That's not necessarily the highest probability. What I like is to have the high probability that we've got here. I really wanted to see a pullback to the 09, a little closer to 09, because I'm not convinced this thing's done going down yet. It seems to have quite a bit of momentum. But let's be patient. Let's see what happens. Let's see if we can't get a pullback to the BBC. Look at the green line. See how the green line is starting to cooperate and come down here? As a scalper, I am long from 4 OM. I'm long from 12 and would love to take a shot and take home overnight. I'm long from 12. So you're long from 16.12. Down here, and you want to take it home overnight. Okay. Here's the thing. You're going to run into, you got one obstacle to your trade at 16.20. The next obstacle to your trade is the weekly trading zone overhead. And so once you hit that weekly trading zone, chance for a substantial retracement is quite good. If you got in at 12 and you could get out up here at 20, that's 8 points. If you're actually able to stay in up to the zone, you know how many points that is. if you plan to leave it open beyond that, I guess I should ask, what's the end game here? What is it that you're after? Well, no, I mean, I just want you to think the whole thing through, because if your goal is to make, and I'm just pulling a number out of the air, let's say that you want to make $1,000 on this trade, well, you can make $1,000 with 1 point or 2 points. Depends upon the number of contracts that you trade. But you can't trade multiple contracts simply because you have the money to trade multiple contracts. You must earn your way into each and every contract that you trade. At least that's our philosophy, and that's the way we teach. And that's what kind of keeps you safe and protects your little nest egg, you know, your initial seed money. Because if you never have to replenish that seed money, that's a great thing, man. And we don't ever want to start talking about where we're playing with the house's money now, because David and I have had very lengthy conversations on the radio about that. It's your money. It's not the house's money, because you worked hard for it. You didn't get lucky. You earned it. You earned it because you did your very best work, and you put on a high probability trade. Okay? You're welcome. You're very welcome. Now, home run on a small position. I'm going to be honest with you. Five contracts, well, I guess it depends. Some people would see that as a small position. Others would see that as a large position. It would really depend on how you got to the five. If you started with one and worked your way up to five, and you've learned all of the, you know, territory that comes along with one and two and three, from the emotions to just everything involved, then it's relative, depending upon who you are, your account size, how you got there, all of that. Okay, well, great. I'm glad you're on the right side of the trade. And so if you were in at 12, you've got 3 points right now, okay? And 3 points, that's $150 times your five contracts. What is that, $750? Okay, $750, if you just did that every day, okay, times 5 days, $750 times 5 days a week. Man, my calculator just gave out on me. 750 times 5 equals 3,750. Oh, this is that same call I got to take. I'll be right back.
They sang, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with 10,000s, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. All right. So, you know, as an assistant, you know, you want to do your job well. Right? You want to be successful. You want to make an impact and all those kinds of things. If you do it too well, right? Sometimes it makes the senior pastor look bad, right? And he may get jealous of that situation. What do you do in that kind of a situation? I think you want to get your senior pastor on board in terms of helping you and being involved in your ministries right from the beginning. So that it's not like, oh, this is my ministry and there's the senior pastor's ministry. But if you do something good, hopefully it reflects on your senior pastor as well. That, oh, he gave us permission to do this. So he agreed with us and those kinds of things. So you certainly want to give credit even as much as possible to your senior pastor, for what he did in terms of helping that ministry to thrive. Otherwise, you get into a situation like you know, Saul, who just feels jealous and that kind of thing. So try to support your senior pastor.
Okay, at least that time I managed to push all of the proper buttons. Okay. All right. Let's see if there's any more questions. No, I really appreciate you sharing that with me, and anything that I can do to help, I'm just more than happy to. And the fact that you're on the right side of the trade, that's wonderful. And oh, I was in the middle of doing some highfalutin math. Yeah. So that came out to $37.50. You know, if you just – that trade you had on, five contracts, 3 points. So let's go three contracts times – no, 3 points. Yeah, 3 points times five contracts times $50 per contract times 5 days a week equals – $37.50 times 50 weeks a year. Everybody needs a vacation. That's $187,000 a year possible potential income based on doing just what you did today, taking 3 points out of the market on five contracts. Okay? That's, by all counts, a very good living. Okay? Now, some people have, you know, monthly bills that even that's not enough. And I would encourage you, if you're in that situation, to maybe you could find a way to, you know, lower your monthly. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, get too far up in anybody's business. And I'm not speaking to any one person right now. I'm speaking to the group at large. It's a lot of pressure when you got to make $200,000 a year just to pay your bills. I mean, before you even get into saving or giving or ministry or any of that other stuff just to pay your bills. Because I know, because I used to wake up, you know, under so much financial pressure every day. And there's two sides of that coin. One, it makes you hit the floor, you know, with your feet. You hit the ground running. That's the term. But over time, it kind of starts to just wear on you, you know, spiritually, mentally, psychologically. And a debt-free lifestyle is an awesome way to live, you know. And I know it's not always practical and realistic for everyone, but it's certainly something you can strive for and shoot for. But most people have mortgages, and many people have car payments, and that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean you're living outside the will of God if you've got a mortgage and a car payment. Actually, you're blessed, because you have a car and a house, and you are able to make the payments. So just have to keep it all in the right perspective. Bernard asked, what's the maroon line on the four-tick chart? You know, Bernard, I don't use that line. Now, in the partners meeting, we're not having a partners meeting Thursday night because of the 4th of July. But if you email Michael, he can go over the maroon line with you. He'll be happy to talk about it even maybe tomorrow morning briefly in the live trading room. But the next partners meeting, he'll go over it. And there are videos in the partners area right now that deal with the maroon line. Hey, any of you partners that are in the chat room right now, do you by any chance know what video number, what workshop number a new partner would go to study up on the maroon line? If so, would you please type it into the chat box so I can share it with him? Okay, so we had said we had a bullish trade setting up, did we not? We had a bullish cross, price pulled away, price pulled back. We've got bullish divergence, but the cycle line has turned red, and so you need a trend line. Oh, and somebody had asked how you draw the trend line. Just like this. Once price pulls back, you go up to that swing high. Okay. And so the up close, all right, is where you would look to get into this trade. So there's the up close. Now, here's the problem. the black line has already worked its way back into the BBC, the green line. So this trade has been negated. Okay, it's no longer a valid trade. What would have happened if you had bought the open of this candle, price reversed, and the black line was pulled into the BBC, the green line, which negates the setup? There's two ways you can go with that, okay? One, you can just ride it out and see what happens, or you can do what's called scratch out of the trade. What does that mean? It means you take a small loss on the trade, okay? You don't have to let this thing go all the way down and hit your hard stop. See, the entry up here, this candle opened at 16:14 and a quarter. And when price pulled in, it was at 16:13.75. So you could have scratched out here with about a 3 to 4 tick loss. Okay, you don't have to take the full 8 tick loss. You could go, hey, this is not working out. I'm going to go ahead and scratch out and then look for another opportunity. And it appears that that would be in your best interest. Now remember, as I said, what I really want to see is I want to see this thing pull back to 1609. I'm much more comfortable. I feel that it's a higher probability scenario for me if I'm able to use my slingshot to take a long trade coming up out of this area. Okay. Now, in the live trading room every day, Michael, because we have a 2-hour window to work with, he is moving from trade to trade to trade. Every opportunity that sets up, he's showing you how that plays out. Okay? Real money, real time. Got to keep it real. But you, as an individual trader, you're not under that pressure. You're not under the gun. You don't have 100-plus people breathing down your neck expecting you to put on trade after trade after trade so that they can learn how to do it. You have the luxury of going, you know, I'm just going to wait and see if I can get back to this area that I know is a good area. In fact, not only do I know it's a good area because of the tweet, but I also know that from a FIB perspective, let's do those fibs again. From a fib perspective, I think I'm having mouse issues. I think maybe I need new batteries. There we go. Okay. Now, see how this area 1609, that's a 62% retracement. See how this line overlays that line? It's a perfect 62% retracement. But what if we do the fibs from way down here? Okay. We did them already, but let's do them again. Okay. So from the entire move, let's draw fibs. And we've got a 62% retracement on the immediate leg. And on the full leg, we've got we're right between a 38 and a 50, okay? Closer to the 38. So we've got short-term fibs saying that's a good area, longer-term fibs saying that's a good area, plus we know it's an important area because it gave us a good tweet and several good trading opportunities since the Globex opened last night. So again, this is where patience comes into play. No need to rush. No need to be in a hurry. Okay. So once price gets in here, okay, and again, this is an area, right? Okay, I got to take this call here, and I'm not even going to bother with the hold. I'm just going to put you on mute for a second. Okay, guys, I apologize. I should have been done a long time ago, and I just kind of been rambling around, just trying to help. I don't want to do this right now. Pause, scan. All right, so let me just leave you with this. I'm looking for a pullback into the 1609 area. If you've already got your points for the day, you don't need to be trading right now. Okay? It's okay to watch it, trade it in SIM. If you haven't got your points yet today, this may present you with a very nice opportunity. Okay? Let this thing pull back into the 609. It's an area. It might come within a tick or two. It might blow past it by a tick or two. But what you want to see is you want to see price do this. And in a perfect world, you'd see it do this. You'd see it do this. And then you'd see it do this. And then you'd see it do that. Okay? See, first we got to get it back to the line, and then the same thing, the move up, the retracement, then the continuation. Okay? Now that's looking at it from the hourly chart, but basically once it hits 1609, somehow this got moved, 1609, then on your four tick range, all you're looking for is a long setup. Okay? Just like this one over here. This one, the ball changed hands, price pulled away, price pulled back. We didn't have the bullish divergence, though, the way we like to see it, but look at that trade. That was a very nice trade. On this one, if you had had your bullish divergence, everything else was in place, but you were missing that ingredient, okay? So the open of this candle was 1613, and the swing high was 1615. And a half. So from the open of this candle to here is a 2.5 point move. But again, your cycle was blue and at the top, but you really didn't have the bullish divergence. Okay. I mean, you could argue that the blue was here and the green was starting to head down. That's a little bit of a close call for me. Okay. Now you might develop a skill set that allows you to trade that. But for now, just get everything by the book, okay? And then do your experimenting. All right, what do we got here? We got a bearish cross. Price is pulled away. Price is attempting to pull back. We've got the cycle headed down and the green line headed up. That's by the time this pulls back, that's going to be bearish divergence. And you're going to potentially be looking to trade on the short side, close below the trend line. Except, okay, this hasn't all come together the way I'd like to see it yet. So I'll leave this up so you can watch it, but I got to jump off right now. So remember that the area that we expect to potentially be good support is down here at 1609. Okay, 1609. So if you were to get triggered in up here somewhere, as long as you get in above 1611 and a half, you've at least got 2.5 points to run. Okay, not the perfect high probability scenario, but, you know, let me see. Does anybody have any questions on anything? I really got to go. Dwayne, I can't find the info on trading versus gambling that you and David Williams talked about last Thursday. Can you direct me to the proper link location? Thanks. We talked about it, and I had shared it. I had read an email that I sent to someone. I don't know that we ever actually posted it anywhere, but what I will do, let me just make a note. because I know I have your email address. Let me just write this down. I will email you a copy of my response. Of course, I'll take all the names out, you know, to protect the innocent. But the response I sent about the difference between my take on the difference between trading and gambling, I'll be happy to email that to you, okay? So let me put that right here so I don't miss it. And then if I forget, just remind me and I'll do it. If you get your 09 around close, do you play it? Well, again, I'm going to have to bring up terminology. Playing, it's not a term I would use. And I know you don't mean that in any bad way. I'm just, sometimes how we think and the words that we use will affect how we behave. And so sometimes the easiest way to control, or the best way to control our behavior, now this goes to all people who have trouble with their emotions and their discipline. If you're having issues being a disciplined trader, the place to start is how you think, and then how you speak. When you hear yourself using words like shot or play, okay, maybe replace those with some different words. You'll start to think differently, speak differently, and ultimately behave differently, okay? So important to succeed as an online, electronic, e-mini futures trader where you've got nobody looking over your shoulder, being your boss. You're it. The buck stops with you or gets away from you. So you need discipline. And I'm speaking to everybody, to the group, okay? If you're having trouble being a disciplined trader, you know what it is, and you know you want it, but you're struggling with it. Work on how you think. Work on how you speak. And over time, how you act will change as a direct result of you addressing those other two things. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. And I know exactly what you mean. But I'm also sharing with you something really, really important. And I know it may seem, oh, that's silly. Well, try it. Just try it. Because I remember I had somebody telling me to watch how I spoke when I started trading. And it wasn't until I really changed the way I spoke and the way I was thinking, I had to get those under control before I could get my actions under control. And it seemed, you're just nitpicking. Good Lord. Get off of that. Well, turns out he was right. And so I just want to help every way that I can. And I can only preach and teach from my own life. I don't preach and teach from books. It's always from whatever. When you hear me talk about something, it's because Dwayne Reeves, 5'9", 160 pounds, lived through it, went through it, traded through it, got hurt by it, got blessed by it. That's where everything you hear coming out of my mouth, it came from my life. Good, bad, indifferent. So you may not always like what I tell you, but I'll always tell you the truth. Okay, we got our 09. Very good. I had my eyes closed, preaching again. And Don just said, look at the ES hitting the zone. I don't think that, is that an actual zone? No, it's not a zone, but it's an area. I know what you mean. It's the area that we've been using. It's the zone we've been speaking about. Okay, so now that we've done the 09, okay, now we want to get a long trade set up on our slingshot. Which means, well, you know what that means. Here's the hourly. Let's get all these little lines out of the way. get that out of the way for now. Okay, so see, we're just sitting right there on top of that. 1609. I shouldn't have that 1609 there like that because it's not. Just double checking, it's not a weekly trading zone. Is it 1609? No, it's not. Okay, but it's the area that was the top of our tweet last night. From 04 to 09 to 04 to 09. And so we're looking for that 09 to give us the support we need to take us back up to the swing high. Okay. Guys, the opportunity for this to turn into a nice, but it's going to take a little bit, all right? Because what's got to happen? You got to get a bullish cross. You got to get a pull away. You got to get a pull back. You got to get a close, an up close, or a close above the trend line. So you could literally go make a sandwich right here because the market's got some work to do. All right? Okay, guys. I'm new and a bit confused. The weekly zone I received this morning is not showing 1609. No, Bernard, it's not. It's what you need to do is go to the Twitter feed or go to our Facebook page. Let me give you my Facebook. Let me give you our Facebook page. You can go to our Twitter page as well, twitter.com/CFRN. Okay. But I'm putting this in the chat box right now. The Facebook, this is our Facebook link. And I detail, see, Facebook, I can use more characters. Twitter limits you to 140. Okay. If you click that, it's going to take you to this page. And last night, when I was tweeting, my first tweet out said, where'd it go? Okay, the tweet said, consider being short below 1592 or long above 1604, whichever presents first. Okay? And the next tweet said, consider locking in some or all profit here at 1609. At the very least, trail a tight stop. The market has made 5 3/4 points available on the tweet. So that's why that number is highlighted on this chart, because I sent out a tweet to everybody and said, hey, consider taking profit at 1609. And look what happened. Once we hit 1609, price came all the way back to 04. Then it went all the way back to 09. And then it came back again. So there was 5 points up, came back, 5 points up, came back, and then made the run. And see, now we're testing that area. So what we find is that resistance has a tendency, once broken, to become support. See how 09 was resistance, resistance, resistance? Now we're waiting to see if it becomes support. If it does, we'll look to get into a long trade, and that long trade will take us up to the next weekly trading zone. Okay? Now, we've got an intermediate zone that's not too far overhead. And then we've got a larger or a greater distance up above the swing high of the day. Okay? So you've got to deal with this 1415 area. But because we've already blown through it once, you know, we might not have too much trouble getting through it the second time. But you definitely got to keep it in mind. Now, the question is, well, how much should the stop loss be? Well, here's the thing. If you're going to use the slingshot to get into the trade, okay, if you're going to wait for this to turn around, bullish cross, pull away, pull back, you're going to wait for all the criteria to set up to give you a long trade. On this setup, we never risk more than 8 ticks or 2 points. So, in answer to your question, 2 points. Once this sets up for a long trade, if it sets up for a long trade, once you get your entry, you only risk 2 points, no more. That answer your question, Alex? 2 points. Bernard, it's not a tweet right now. It's something I'm simply telling you live in real time. Okay? Last night it was a tweet. And there is a tweet out there right now that says, consider being long above 1621. Oh, did I ever put that one out? Oh, I think I did. I did finally put that out. Let me double check. Let's see. Yeah. I just put this out a little while ago. Consider being long above 1621 up to the next weekly trading zone. So that's the most recent tweet. But what we're talking about is possibly having a trade that allows us to go from here up to the 21, and then we would get into that trade up to the next weekly trading zone. Okay? All right. How would you manage your long position after entering on the four tick chart? You simply trail a stop. Okay? Once you've got 2 points, you can just take your 2 points and you're done for the day. Or you can trail your stop. Okay, guys, any other questions, shoot them to me, support@cfrn.net. I got to run, but we'll be back tomorrow. We'll do more of the same. Michael will be in the live trading room first thing. I'll be in about 30 minutes after the open. Please join us tomorrow morning, if you can, on the conference call for morning prayer and devotion. Just love starting the day that way. Paul will be leading the devotion tomorrow, and I always look forward to the other folks who share, Paul and Frank, and Kathy's going to be starting on Fridays. So we really do have a good time. It's very casual, very low-key. Just a great time. It's not a religious event. It's just some believers coming together, sharing their faith, praying for one another, praying for the sick. And again, starting our day off with the proper priorities in place. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things will be added. So that's really just what we're trying to do. We're trying to get our priorities straight. We're trying to seek him first and then trusting him to just pull the rest of it together. Okay? All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
I want to show you